The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Gabe's Basement and Pleasure Dome, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe.
I can hear you both clear now.
Okay, clear is the night sky.
Clear, yeah, yes.
Okay, we're recording.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 34 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Oh, I just lost everything.
Hi, John.
Oh, no. Oh,
fuck.
I mean, on my side, it says the quality is good.
And now it's fine again.
Okay.
Okay, say I'm John.
And we're gone.
Fuck.
And we're gone! And it sucks!
Why is it being so awful here?
It says the
John!
It says the connection speed between us is fast.
Huh?
Huh?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Is it me you're looking for?
Say, I'm John! I think there's something wrong with Gabe's internet.
Ah.
Too much porn.
Probably. We've had this discussion in the past, I think.
Well, it's working right now, so just yell, I'm John, really loud, and then let's record as much as we can.
I'm John!
Oh, Juan, you got to keep, like, most of that in there.
Oh, shit.
How's it going, John?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well as well.
Doing well as well. Well as well.
So,
in a well.
In a well?
Oh, so now I can hear everything. Thanks for turning it up, finally, Juan.
Would you turn up?
The monitor.
Oh.
Yeah. So that I can actually hear things in the headphones.
Because he's fucking old.
Gotcha.
I'm deaf, not old.
Both.
Yeah.
You need one of those fucking, those things that you see on the infomercials that's like a Bluetooth headset, but it allows you to listen better.
Oh, like the mirror. It's like a Bluetooth version of like the ear trumpet, basically.
I didn't hear a single fucking thing. Awesome.
It's like the Bluetooth version of an ear trumpet.
Trumpet. Is it?
This could be awful. So, yeah, vagina speakers.
And then I just hear laughs really loud, and it's like, ha, 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 ha.
Did it all go? Oh, shit. Why am I even saying? I say we just, like, talk to each other, and then when he like makes weird noises, we just leave it go.
Hello, John.
Last part, and then it sounded like there's a rancor in your room.
I say
that's
we
what
just,
I get on
I
my
say
end.
We just let him make that
crazy,
noise the entire
crazy.
Time.
I want to take an ice pick up my nose hole and just give myself a lobotomy.
This is gold.
Oh, that's better.
Oh. I think we found the problem.
Nope. Kidding. So sometimes when I'm in the shower, I stick a soapy finger up my butt. I mean, I don't know. Is that weird? Does everybody do that? I think everybody does that. Let's be honest. And I mean, I'm not going all the way up there. Just a second, you know?
Confessions
feels
with
nice.
John.
Makes me feel alive.
I mean,
I'm just going to have my own random conversation and you guys can do whatever the fuck you want. And so I'll just sit here in my pajamas looking in a mirror and talking to myself.
Are you naked?
No, I'm in my pajamas, man.
He did
oh,
just
yeah,
say
you
that.
Just
yeah.
said that, yeah.
So now you can hear us for half a second?
For half a second.
Okay.
And this is why Gabe wants to kick me off the show.
That is not true.
Sad, sad panda.
Are you proud that you kind of like preemptively named your child after a Star Wars character?
Well, it's a funny story because he's named after you got a Darth Vader. Awesome. So he's named after Finn McCool, which was like the Irish version of Hercules.
Right.
And everybody thinks because of the aquarium industry, he's named after like a fish's fin, which is fucking dumb. Or Finn from Adventure Time, which is also, it's kind of cool, but it's still pretty fucking stupid.
Not that cool, yeah.
So I have to explain. Now I have a third thing to explain. It's like his name was Finn before there was even a Finn from Star Wars, damn it.
Yeah, but don't you just want to be like, yeah, he's named after Finn from Star Wars. No, and we're gone.
Didn't hear any of that. I'm sorry.
Don't you just want to be like, yeah, he's named after Finn from Star Wars because Finn's awesome.
True, he is.
Yeah, there's a ghost inside of my Wi-Fi.
Your what?
Said there's a ghost inside
in your
of
Wi-Fi?
My anus.
What's his name?
His name is Pablo.
Pablo?
Pablo. Spelled, it's the rare W spelling of the name.
Nice. Pablo Picuso.
Pablo
Picuso. Hold on.
I was thinking,
because it's poo and he's a ghost in your butt.
I was thinking more like.
That's what I was trying to say the first time.
Do I need to push something?
Yes, push something.
Hello?
Hello?
Push it real good.
John.
I think we're both trying to do that song.
Oh,
just,
baby, baby.
Awful on my side.
Hello,
oh,
can
baby,
you hear
baby.
Me?
Oh, baby, baby. Oh, baby, what? Baby. I'm just singing the song.
I heard I want to rape you, which is.
Wow.
A little disconcerting.
Where did that come from?
The ghost in my anus.
He wants to rape me or you?
I mean, you know, whoever.
He's already in Gabe's anus.
It's just an anus ghost. Gotcha. Don't you have anus ghosts?
Well, in the form of farts, yes.
Dude, absolutely. You're not going to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I just posted this video on my Facebook that's a country song called I Thought I Fart, But I Shit, and it's hilarious.
That actually completely came across clear on that post.
Oh. Yeah, that's Gabe dying, not the microphone settings.
Hashtag anal ghosts.
Hashtag yes.
Can you hear us now?
I can. It's actually super clear right now.
Whoa. Okay. Let's just get into, do you have any random shit to talk about?
Oh, I think I lost it.
Oh, my God.
It's like a disappointing erection that just disappears.
Stop
you're like,
moving.
Why? I wanted to fuck something with this.
And now it's gone.
But now it's sad and limp.
Dude, let's just go. Whatever. Just... John, tell us something from your miscellaneous list, and we'll just respond
this is terrible.
To you. Oh, he's didn't.
What's on your list?
Why does this always happen to me? Anal ghosts.
Sound like an emo kid.
Erections. I know. I'm gonna start cutting myself. Hold on.
Hashtag John the emo kid.
Let me go get a razor blade.
What's on your list?
You just want me to start reading it out and see what happens?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was clear. That was good.
What's on your list?
Star Wars past Avatar. Yay.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty cool. But that's only domestic.
Still, though, have you seen the... He can't hear me right
that's
now,
okay.
That's okay. Have you seen the list of, like, the box offices adjusted for inflation?
Yes.
And so, like, Gone with the Wind is actually still, like, the number one movie of all time adjusted for inflation.
What about deflation?
Adjusted for deflation, is that it? Does that have to do with like
flatulence, ghost fart flatulence,
your disappointing erections?
We are retarded. Let's go.
How long until it breaks the internet? I mean, it started playing in China this weekend, didn't it?
The podcast?
No. No.
We have a China following?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah, I don't know when it was released in Chinatown.
Because I think that's the biggest international market that they were hoping to get a ton of following from.
I'll just wait till I hear something that's legible and then respond.
Johnny, can you hear me?
So I feel like China...
might take a while.
China being such a huge market probably is going to generate even more money for Star Wars than the United States will.
I think so as well, and that's why I'm saying that... For now, at least, it's just going to be the domestic best. You know what I mean? Which is still a big deal, like you said. But I think that, I think Fast and the Furious debuted in China first and then in the United States.
Well, yeah, but that's because that's a terrible movie.
It made a shit ton of money.
It did, John. That's the only thing John responds to.
I heard that.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I liked it.
Really?
I did like it.
Fast and the Furious 7,
yeah,
you liked.
I liked it.
I have not seen it, so I can't reply.
That is,
you haven't even watched it. How can you pass judgment on a movie you've never seen?
Because I've read all the reviews. Because
that's what Gabe does.
That's exactly what Gabe does.
I read all the reviews of it.
So what?
It sounds stupid.
I don't pay attention to reviews.
What'd you say, John?
He said you want to kick him off the show.
I do not want to kick John off the show.
You didn't hear that.
I know.
Didn't hear that, so it's awesome.
He heard, I want to kick John off the show.
I want to.
Not because of selective listening.
Kick John off the show.
God, this is amazing. This is going to be a weird show. Even weirder than normal.
When aren't they? So let's talk for a moment about vagina speakers and how.
Can you?
I can hear that. Loud and clear.
Vagina speakers.
So this is like the most disturbing like product I think that's come up on the show so far. It's a speaker that's connected to a Bluetooth
that you stick
in your vagina so that your fetus can hear music. Like that's gross.
I wonder if we could play a podcast in somebody's vagina.
Oh my God, that would be the worst like indoctrination of a child of all time.
That would be amazing. We would be the first podcast in somebody's vagina.
Oh my God.
We should find somebody to do that.
No.
To do what?
To play the podcast through the vagina speaker.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
No way. That's an amazing idea.
We come out just fucking, I don't know. I don't even want to go there.
We would be breaking ground.
We would be the first intra-vagina podcast.
And that's got a bucket of puke written all over it for me. I don't know. I mean, no offense, guys. I love the show and what we do, but I don't know.
Well, we aren't doing the podcast in a vagina.
We personally wouldn't be inside said vagina. Just our voices. And he's out.
Man, all I heard was vagina and Wendy's, and I don't know what is going on. If you're putting hamburgers in your vagina for your pregnant kiddo, that's trouble.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not sanitary. Don't do that, listeners.
Every time I cough, it feels like I'm going to pass out. It's amazing.
I sent it. This is like that one.
I love that when you text him through Skype, you can fucking hear his phone buzz. It's like the best thing ever. You're all clack, 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 and then you just buzz.
I got a message. This is terrible. We need a court stenographer to type out your fucking conversation.
Some 60-year-old woman just clack, clack, clack.
I couldn't imagine we would record in a vagina. That would be even. I can't imagine getting all that equipment up there. That's what she said.
Oh my God! This is the.
It would be super comfy and nice and warm though.
Well, I mean,
oh, shit.
Would it be that comfy if you could fit that much stuff up in there? He didn't hear.
I heard that, but I'm trying to process that mental image of like a sofa in a vagina.
This sounds like some German pornography to me, for sure.
Duh, that's why your internet's all laggy, because you look at that shit online.
We like the Scheisse movie.
Google didn't know how to answer sofa and vagina.
Welcome to my dungeon. Hey, that's Arnold. What are you doing?
Why are there tarps everywhere?
Right.
Oh, shit. Is that the weirdest sex product? It's not even a sex product, though.
I think it's the weirdest, like, thing that you...
Dude, okay, hold on. Could you use that as a sex product? Like, could you put that in your vagina
and then, like,
and turn up some thumping bass beats and then get to pounding and be like, oh, my God, would that be amazing?
Would you put it in the vagina or would you put it on the clit?
This got real technical real fast.
Because then you got
John's
like...
John's out again. That's the best part is he has no idea what you're saying, and that's awesome. No,
and I really think the ovipositor is still worse.
You think the ovipositor is still worse than like...
But you could kind of combine the two, which is creepier.
Do like multiple vagina speakers, like a 5.1 Dolby surround sound like inside your vag. I love that every time we bring this up, like Marika is like the first person to comment that like you guys are fucked up stupid. Like,
yeah,
she's like, stop talking about vaginas.
They're so mystical.
I was going to say I'm fascinated because I don't have one.
And they're amazingly fun.
They are. I mean, you kind of have one, Juan. You know, if you consider Alicia's. I mean, it's not yours.
Yeah, but,
but it's yours with air quotes.
Right? Yeah. She makes me rent it out.
I'm gonna take this out for a spin.
But
if I borrow the badge, we're gonna cruise down with a top down.
The best part about what's going on right now is how, like, non sequitur, like, almost everything John is saying. It's just, like, random sentence fragments that are, like, loosely connected to what we're talking about, but not really. Like, oh, it's amazing. He heard none of that.
I did not hear any of that.
Yeah. Except for me saying he heard none of that, I assume.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I heard you say that I said that. But I didn't hear anything else.
What else is on your list?
So Civil War Pops leaked that there's going to be Giant Man in Civil War. I know. I think we all kind of expected that, but
can we believe
that's our first
toys?
Sneak peek?
I feel like, yeah. I mean,
so I'll just let you talk about that until I hear something that's clear, and then I'll respond. Go.
Like, I feel like you can trust toys to indicate, like, what characters are going to be in a movie. Like, with the exception of two figures in Star Wars whose scenes were just cut from the movie, everything that was in Star Wars was a character, like the Star Wars toys.
Why wouldn't you believe toys?
Yeah, like that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Why would they intentionally mislead you that a character is going to be in a movie?
Why would they intentionally put out a toy months before a movie came out and spoil it?
That's not really a spoiler. Giant Man's going to be
why?
In it. You
people
know
who
Giant
don't.
Man's
going
to
be in
it. I agree. I don't know. I didn't hear anything. I'm just
we're good now.
No, not really.
I'm gonna hang up and then reconnect to see if it's any better.
Do you,
real quick.
Should I answer on my phone or the computer?
Computer.
Computer. All right. So I'm on the
computer.
Phone
right now. Oh, that's
hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Is that any better? Nope.
Hello.
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 God. It's
hello.
Worse. It's worse now.
Oh.
You heard me?
It was real loud.
Can you hear me now? Is this any better?
No.
No.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, that came across clear, but that's very marginal.
You're marginal.
Oh, I know.
So still, going back to the Giant Man thing, is it really a spoiler that Giant Man's in the Avengers?
To you? No.
Oh, I thought you meant Giant Man Thing, and I was like, wait, Man Thing's going to be the fucking
see,
movie?
Now that would be a spoiler, that Man Thing's going to be in Civil War.
I agree.
And it would make me like 3,000 times more excited to see that movie. Like, I'm pretty
excited like
it already because of Black Panther, but if it was like Black Panther and Man Thing, erect.
It moved.
Super flaccid.
Oh, man.
Speaking of Civil War... Supposedly, aside from the main characters, Black Panther, Spider-Man, and The Vision are all supposed to have really big arcs in this movie.
Okay.
Which is weird because, like John said last time, it's maybe a 2.5-hour movie.
Sure.
You know what I mean? To give these other three real prominent roles when you've got so many other big stars in this movie, it might start to get a little kind of convoluted, I think.
Well, and why the fuck are we still calling it Captain America Civil War? Just call it Avengers Civil War. It's not going to be a Captain America movie.
Or just call it Civil War. Like, agreed. I mean, don't even tie, like, Marvel's Civil War. Like, call it that. Like, then it
I think that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Just with nothing attached to it. Because it's all of Marvel's different, or most of them, different superheroes.
Yeah. Minus the X-Men's.
Or the Fantastic Quattro.
They're yes, not really fantastic anymore.
The lame-tastic four.
Yeah. So I don't know what you did, but it, knock on wood, seems to be working well.
Yeah, well, we just I'm knocking on my pants.
We were watching, somebody was upstairs watching Netflix, so.
Ah, that would do it.
Yeah, so, that would do it. I knocked on Gabe's wood.
So also, slightly pertaining to Civil War, I'm just going to ignore that.
Knock, knock, knocking on Gabe's wood.
Ow, 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 ow.
Ooh, splinters.
It hurts. It hurts.
And not the rat from Ninja Turtles.
So they're...
Although that would be crazy coming out of Gabe's pants.
God.
That's like his anal ghost.
It says boo. So they're working on, because not to be outdone by Secret Wars 2, they're working on Civil War 2 in the comic book universe now. And they've revealed two big things, that there's going to be a new major character that is like some kind of precog, you know, like somebody that can tell the future with like a super high level of accuracy. And that's what the Civil War is going to be over. Like, how do we use this person to like benefit everybody, you know, without, you know, it turning into Minority Report.
Right.
And then the other thing is that there will be a big death, which doesn't matter because everybody has died at this point.
Right.
They're actually teasing that in the Civil War movie. They're teasing that Captain America is going to die.
Really?
Okay. Uh-oh. I think we lost him again.
No, I'm here. Here. Okay. I just have nothing to contribute.
He just doesn't care.
Because there were rumors that Bucky would take over the mantle of Captain America.
Gotcha.
But that would be weird and like
it would be weird.
Ruin the continuity of like the storyline.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you're looking down the road, the next Iron Man, if they do an Iron Man sequel, isn't supposed to come out until 2020. And the rumor there is that it's not going to be Robert Downey Jr. picking up that mantle anymore because he will have outlasted his contract by that time.
Weird.
So, I mean, you're looking at these people who have, I think he's played Captain America or Iron Man since like 2008 or something like that. So we're going on damn near 10 years of him playing Iron Man.
The same character.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's probably like, okay, it's time to go do something else. But it's weird to see other people pick up where they left off, because it's like I said, it's almost 10 years, so you're used to it at this point.
And what's crazy is they'll have to figure out a way for it to not be Tony Stark as Iron Man, because otherwise people really balk against it. Like, I don't think throwing a new actor into the role of Tony Stark is something that anybody's going to be like, oh, okay, you know, fans are – the internet is full of
dicks.
They're
smarter than that, though. Right. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. You'd have to – go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No,
you go first.
Oh, I was just going to say, frankly, I'm excited to see Iron Grandpa. Like, you kids, get off of my iPad.
Get off my island that I bought with weapons grade
I'm
materials.
Not
going to
say anything, but an iron wheelchair would look amazing.
So,
that's awful.
Kind of in the same universe. They've been talking about how the Inhumans movie won't have any Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. continuity to it.
Interesting.
Clark Gregg just came out and said that. He doesn't think – he's hopeful that it will.
That guy's got first names for names. Clark Gregg.
Yes, he does.
I like that stuff, man.
But it's weird because that would be the first MCU project that doesn't connect to anything.
Sure.
When it's – isn't that their motto? Like, it's all connected or some bullshit like that?
Yeah. I think I saw a Marvel It's All Connected tagline at the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Really?
I think that's what
– No, I'm just kidding. That was complete sarcasm and it failed. I apologize.
Yeah, that was also sarcasm.
I think that's what it is, though.
You just missed it because I was doing the big eye head nod, yes.
I think that's what it is, though. I think that's their mantra. Like, that was the whole point of what they were doing compared to what DC was doing.
Sure. That's kind of weird. That's weird. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know.
It's because of the inter-political fights that were going on.
Yeah. It seems like the whole Inhumans thing just kind of dropped. Like, nobody really cares anymore. I don't know. I don't know if I want to say that.
The Inhumans on S.H.I.E.L.D. that's the core of the show at this point.
Sure.
And that's why it's weird that you would go away from what is popular in the show, because they, at this point, they've traveled to a different planet to find the first ever, what they think is the first ever Inhuman. And this season, spoiler alert for whoever hasn't seen it, this season ends with that first Inhuman back on Earth, running kind of amok. So, I mean, the Inhumans is everything that S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing right now. It's just weird that they wouldn't follow that to a movie, that they would disconnect it. Because I'm betting some of that popularity is Clark Gregg, since we don't see him in any movies anymore, since he's presumed to be dead at this point.
Right.
Sure.
I almost wonder if it's like a little bit of like
rock and roll.
No, like kind of.
I'm gonna, a little bit country.
I don't know. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Sorry,
it's gone now. Hashtag stoner Gabe. No, I feel like maybe it, there's going to be enough pushback against that that I wonder if by the time the Inhumans movie comes out, that they start like working some of like some little nods in to the show into right. the movie without having to do like the whole like big picture of it, like where it all like really ties together, just like they do in Daredevil. Like they allude to the right. Avengers movies, right. but they don't really necessarily have to like go really into depth about the Avengers.
Well, from what it sounds like from everything I've read, and I could be wrong, it sounds like this isn't going to be in any MCU verse. Like it's not going to be canon at all. Which is totally weird to me. That's the weird part. If it is like the offshoots like Daredevil and Jessica Jones where it's still in the universe and it only kind of touches on everything, I'm fine with that. That, you know, that makes – that's okay. You know, I wish that Clark Gregg and some of the cast would be on the movie, but whatever. It is what it is. But from everything I've read, it sounds like that's not the case. It sounds like it's going to stand alone somewhere off in the corner. You know what I mean?
That would be weird.
Yeah, it would be really weird.
That would be weird.
Nobody puts Inhumans in the corner.
Nope. Nobody.
Nobody. Oh, man.
So I have more Marvel stuff.
No.
You don't say. Zoink, Scoob.
You meddling kids.
Oh, man. You're going to make him forget what he's talking about.
Like, this one's written down, so I won't forget. The Daredevil 2 trailer came out.
Oh, yes.
Which, like, hints at the Punisher and stuff. But the trailer's awesome. I'm super excited for Daredevil 2. But the thing that's really cool to me is so there was, like, the staring contest between Marvel and DC over the release date of Batman versus Superman and the new Avengers movie. Okay. So they're, you know, kind of butting heads, like are they going to release on the same date? Are they going to release on the same day? And then DC backed off, you know, and changed their release date to earlier in the year.
Pussies.
Yeah, whatever. And so what's Marvel's response? We'll just release Daredevil season 2 on the exact same day. It's not going to affect Batman versus Superman because it's Netflix versus like a movie. Like if it does affect it, it'll be like humongous news. It's just the whole principle behind Marvel just saying, hey, DC, middle finger, fuck you, man. We do what we want. I don't know. It's hilarious to me.
On an interesting note with the rivalry between Marvel and DC, so I was going, you know, I got an email from Diamond about comics and the retailer market share and all that sort of stuff. You know, they come out with a yearly kind of thing that says, these were the best comics that sold well and all this shit.
Yeah.
And, the gap. So Marvel used to be like 50% of the market share and DC was like 30%. And let me pull it up so I can give you accurate and informative news.
On the spot.
This show is not known for that.
Yeah, right? I thought it was my end that was being all fucked up with a connection, but it's not. Hold on.
Okay.
Time out. Just, you guys talk amongst yourselves while John pulls this up.
Well, I got some Daredevil stuff too, so right, I'll go ahead with that. The Daredevil trailer, there's been some still shots of it. I know you just saw the trailer today, so you haven't seen any of the other stuff. But in the bottom left-hand corner, there's a playing card, just a playing card. So the rumor is that that's a big sign that you're going to get Bullseye into the second season.
That's exactly cool. How I would take it. That's awesome.
The other thing, the Punisher. So one of their main first fights or encounters, apparently, if you're to believe what's said, is the Punisher has Matt Murdock and he has another dude. And he gives Murdock a gun, I believe is how it was. And he's like, I'm going to kill this guy unless you kill me. So he's playing with the fact that Matt Murdock doesn't kill people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's giving him the option to shoot and kill me, or you're going to watch me kill this other guy. Which is kind of, it's kind of a crazy, like, if that's what the first encounter is, it's pretty crazy, because it just sounds cool. It sounds kind of gritty.
Super intense.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, like, I was talking with my friend Matt about this a little bit last night, that people are like, oh, how could the guy that plays Shane play the Punisher? He's just like some, you know, it's so weird that they're making him some like crazy vet that's all violent and, you know, aggressive and stuff. I'm like, did you not ever read a Punisher comic book, like, that's exactly what he is. He's like a vet whose family was killed by like a gang organization, and his response to it is to take all of his military training and just kill everybody, like
murder.
Murder was the case that they gave.
Hey,
the Punisher. But I don't.
It's
I don't know.
Cool. That's weird, who though, he's like, not a bad guy. I mean, he is.
When the Punisher first arrives in comic books, he's a Spider-Man villain.
Right, right.
Just like Morbius is a Spider-Man villain. Like, and you know,
but they change.
They change. But he's like a vigilante. Right. And he's not. The Punisher is not a good guy, and like the Avengers, a lot of times don't like associating with him because you know he just kills
people. Because he murders,
and when you murder people, you should go to prison. Like, but those white go-go boots,
oh, they do it for
they're
sexy.
They're so sexy, so hot. Punisher.
I wish that was all he was wearing.
He wants to get blood on him so he can wipe it off.
Hey! Oops, I dropped my napkin.
No, it's more like, oops, I dropped this clip. Let me pick up this high-capacity magazine.
Can I put your banana clip in my hand? Oh.
Get ready, because I'm going to go full auto.
All over your face, neck, and chest.
Do you think the president's executive actions would affect the Punisher's ability to get more ordnance?
No.
Did you find your fucking email yet?
I did. I found it.
Let's hear your stats, Mr. Nerd fucking boy.
So, easy.
Easy, take it easy.
Hey, at least I still want you on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
This is really going to go on forever until you say something stupid and we're going to make fun of you again.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Exactly. So retail market share, Marvel Comics is at 37.09%.
Oh, and you said they were at 50 before.
Yeah.
They used to be like 40 to 50. Wow. I mean, Marvel, you know, the whole... There was a whole thing about how, you know, if you're going to open a comic store, you have to sell Marvel comics because that's what will keep you open. DC is at 29.32.
Jesus.
Image is at 10.29. And then IDW is like at 5.3. Dark Horse is at 3. And everybody else is at about 1%.
Huh.
So it's just crazy. It's crazy because I know that a lot of that is because, you know, Image and Dark Horse and Boom and all of the other independents are starting to cannibalize some of that market share.
Right.
But it's just interesting to see how the mighty may have fallen a little.
Do you see DC and Marvel in the future when they – obviously they see these things probably every day. Do you see them telling their creators to take more chances, or do you think that they're like, you know, fuck it. Like the world at large knows who we are because we're making movies and we're doing these other things. We're going to keep doing what we're doing and we'll let them, you know, take the chances and be bold and be different as far as the independents go.
I think you already see DC responding to that with like the huge influx of Vertigo titles.
Yes.
Like DC is saying, oh shit.
Is that counted in the DC stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, so DC saw Image taking up like literally a tenth of the market share and said, we've got to start making books like that again.
Right.
Like if we don't start making books like that again, we're going to completely disappear. And I think it's a big part of what's saving DC right now. And you even see it in their regular titles too, like where of all the titles to reboot after Convergence, one of the main ones was Constantine the Hellblazer. Like as opposed to like really fixating on like that weird, you know, multiverse expanded universe.
Right.
You don't have like as many Green Lantern titles, you don't have as many Batman titles, but they made sure to keep Constantine and not just keep it, but revamp it so that it's more like the old one.
I got to tell you too, I've noticed, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, Justice League and Justice League of America have been really, really good lately. I mean, Dom chose that Darkseid run as his favorite comic book last year.
Right.
It's a really, really good story. And that's cool. And you know, that's they, like I said, they've got to see these things every day. So they have, you have to do something. Like you said, people are, the younger generation is typically not one to go for standard stuff, for stuff that's out there already that they can just get any time. You know what I mean? So I'm sure you've seen a decline in people reading Justice League and Green Arrow.
Well, just
and
superhero and just, books
right,
in general.
Right. And right, I think right. they're craving that other gritty kind of, because it, I think it resonates with people better than I can't, you know, I'm not Superman. I can't, you know, I can't, what's the word?
Relate?
Yeah, I can't relate to that. I can't fly either. I mean, I could fly for probably a second or so, but that's it.
That's called jumping one.
But you can't.
And you can't even do that for a second. You can do that for like a fourth of a second.
But you can't relate to those things, you know. I can kind of relate to Constantine, though I'm not a magician by any means. But
oh,
he's
a
fuck
wizard?
Up, and he, yeah.
I'm a badass wizard.
But I think that's
he's
what
a
their pull
14
is.
Wizard.
I he's am a level 14, 14 wizard.
They roll my D20 to see if I hit.
Don't let him fool you. He bought that profile on fucking eBay.
He's probably wearing a shirt of +2 conjuring right now. Hey, so watch out.
I'm wearing a shirt from a tattoo shop right now.
Oh, so that's cool though.
+5 tattoo magic.
Yes. So just some other interesting stats. That's really quick since I have this fucking page up in front of me. Comic sales as a whole from November to December are down by, I think it was just 2.14%, which is interesting. But as a whole, comparing 2014 to 2015, comic sales dollar-wise are up 8.99%.
Wow. That's interesting that like the physical amount of units went down, but the money went up.
The dollar amount from
November to December is down. So sales as a whole for the, you know, the between the 2 months were down by 2%. But comparatively, last year to this year as a whole for the entire year, sales are up about 9%.
So when you say November to December this year, is that only looking at 15? Or is that looking at 13 compared to 15? Because I'm curious to see if they always kind of dip in that Thanksgiving Christmas area.
So there's two stats. There's December. There's looking at, you know, the sales as a whole for November of 2015 to December of 2015, and that's what's down 2%. So
right.
November was a better month than December.
However, you don't know
if you look at December of 2014 to December of 2015 for just that 1 month, comic dollar amount is up 25%.
Oh wow! Okay, Jesus.
For the month based on that same month last year.
Wow,
that's nuts. Are they still – like is Diamond still indicating the whole – that the things that are selling the most are not the single issues but more the trades? Because I know that that was like a huge trend in comic books over the last few years is that the majority of like – of money coming from sales is coming from trades as opposed to single issue books.
Sure. I don't have a stat on that.
Oh, okay.
Right.
But I wonder if that has to do with trades being – 4 times more expensive than
no, it has to do
issues.
With more people are prone to collect those now than they used to be. Like it used to be, it was a really big thing to collect the single issue comic books.
Right.
But now since the story arcs, like comics have moved away so much from like the, you know, villain of the month or monster of the month
right.
into like big story arcs that people are way more interested in collecting a full story arc in a trade than they are of hunting down like the single issue books.
Well, and I have this conversation with new comic readers at the store almost on a daily basis where somebody comes in, they've heard about Saga from some friend and they want to read it. And you can't – I mean you can hunt down all the back issues, but it's going to come at a super premium cost.
Yeah.
Where you can pick up the first trade of Saga for $10. And it's easy. It gets you in. It gets you hooked. And then
find the single issues,
or you can just catch up to single issue and start buying from there. Like
right,
I know I've done that with tons of books. Like I have, yep. first volumes and then issue like seven.
Oh yeah, you know? Oh yeah. That's right. Exactly right. How my saga is. That's how East of West is for me. That's how a few of them are
for me.
Yeah, like. I just don't like when I start, and those are things I haven't even read yet. So when I start, I just don't have time. So when I start reading them, if it's something that I really, really like, then I would probably be prone to try and find, even if it's second print or whatever, I'd probably be more prone to go find the single issues right. as well.
Sure.
All right.
But it was just interesting. I just wanted to throw some numbers at you.
It's like the Green Arrow run that Kevin Smith was in. That whole volume, I'm trying to collect in both single issues and trade paperbacks.
Right.
And sure. I have one trade paperback left, and I cannot find it anywhere for less than $100.
Dude, it's crazy.
It's fucking insane.
It's so obnoxious.
And I don't know why. I don't know what's so special about it.
It's out of print.
Okay.
Because I'm having the same issue. There's Chronicles of Conan Volume 6, okay? Like, it's the reprints that Dark Horse did of the Marvel Conans. Like, obviously, I want the full run, like, so that those are based... I want the trades to basically be my reader copies right. so that I don't have to break into my single issues to read them. But Volume right. 6 costs, like, $70 because it's been yeah. out of print for a few years. Like, even though I know Dark Horse printed a gajillion of them, and that there's, like,
yeah.
you know, Chuck It, Mile High has, like, a pallet full of them somewhere, and he just, like, doles them out to at a time.
Yeah,
at
so
a premium.
Any yeah. any listeners out there, if you have a comic book shop and you find the trade paperback of Straight Shooter, that's what I need.
John.
Oh, I already told John.
I know. What else do you have, Juan, so that I'm not monopolizing this?
Random. Oh, you're good. I like Monopoly. It just takes forever.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
I didn't write his name because I looked at the fucking article, and then that fake fucking Facebook, you won $100,000 came up, and I fucking X'd out of it. But this, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, the tall man from the Phantasm, yeah, from Phantasm.
His
died.
Name was
something Agnes Scrim?
Scrim.
Yeah.
He died last night.
Yeah. And that was, though I don't really know him from anything else, those were really good, like, cheesy movies. Like, they were... I watched them when I was young, so they were scary to me, but they're just funny as fuck to watch at this point, but it's pretty crazy news.
The first one scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. Like, I was so terrified that I was, like, gonna turn a corner and that floating ball would be there to, like, drill a hole in my eyeball. Like, for... I don't know. Those terrified me when I was a kid. But Phantasm's awesome.
Yeah. Good movies. It's like a Poltergeist. Like, those are not that great movies anymore, but they're the old dude just casually walking up to your door and being like, you're going to die. It's just fucking, it's crazy.
It's creepy, yeah. Yeah. Also,
I don't know that I've seen either of those, so I'll have to write those down.
You haven't seen Poltergeist?
Or Phantasm?
Well, I've seen Poltergeist. I haven't seen Phantasm.
Oh, you got to watch Phantasm, dude. It's good. They're good. Yo, nice. There's dwarves and
awesome.
Like,
I'm in. You don't even have to say anymore. I'm in.
Stop selling it.
No, there's like, I got it. There's a giant silver ball that has like blades and drills and
oh, yeah.
stuff.
It's
that
cool.
Flies around like.
Nice.
And that guy
I
goes,
I think there's three
boy.
Of them.
Boy.
I don't think he talks much either.
Oh,
I think he's just
he says
very.
Like five lines
yeah.
in the whole movie or something.
And he looks creepy. Like, look him, look up a picture of him. He looks scary and he's huge.
Okay.
So,
did you see that that Preacher, the guys, Seth Rogen and the guys that write Preacher got blessings from Garth Ennis to change the story a little?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like it's a bit of a good thing, because if Garth Ennis is like, yeah, that sounds okay to me, then, you know.
Well, he didn't say that. He didn't say that about their changes. He just said it was okay if they made changes to the storyline.
He doesn't know what the changes are.
Right, exactly. He probably doesn't fucking care because he's getting his kick out of it anyway.
Yeah. He's all, I don't care. Just give me my money.
Zach, hey. Give me my check.
Hey, Garth Ennis. Baby, I got your money. Got your money. Garth Ennis.
I'm going to mention this because not only is it a new podcast we're doing, but it's in the similar vein. The 11/22/63 show that's coming out with James Franco in next month
on Hulu.
On Hulu.
Hulu exclusive.
We've done a couple. I think we've done five or six interviews already before the actual TV show hits, so that we've recorded them, so that when that particular episode comes on, we can just plug it in. But you've heard actors already saying, because I don't know if you've ever read the book or seen anything about it. Do you know anything about it, John?
I don't.
So 11-22-63 is about a dude who tries to go back in time to stop the Kennedy assassination.
Okay.
But in the book, apparently, and I haven't read the book yet, apparently they don't get to the past until like 300 pages into the book.
Right.
So it's like a drawn out thing in the book. But one of the actresses has said that like people who are going to watch the movie, the viewers, when they did like testings and stuff, craved wanting to go to the past like soon. So I think it's like that where you have a little bit of, you have to change some things that don't reflect well on a page onto the screen sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There again, so I, you know, listening to one of the last episodes that we've done where you were talking about how people want more zombies in Walking Dead or
you
the fear of the Walking
show?
Dead. I do, because I don't get to be there with you guys all the time, which makes me sad. Even though that's what Gabe's going for.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's what he's going for. On the back, you should see the Craigslist post where he's searching for new hosts.
Fuck you. That's not true.
Can you send me that link? Because I'll totally apply again.
He's all, I need your resume, John.
Comic shop owner that loves ska, beer, and comic book movies.
Please. Please, I don't want to go.
I'm so alone.
But more zombies in The Fear of the Walking Dead.
Well, no, so your description of the test audience for that show reminds it harkens to the fact that we're in such a I want it now mentality,
right,
as a culture, that it's super frustrating that you can't, you know, let that tension build up, you know, so that they only travel back in time maybe the second to last episode of the season. I don't get it.
I almost wonder if there's like
– I like tension.
I almost wonder if there's like a lack of like creative integrity, because there's so
sure.
there's so much like we have to have the audience dialed in to love this thing so much because we have it connected to like advertising, and if it doesn't
right.
make money, it like really screws over so many people, et cetera, that there's like there's a moment where people don't make and create just for the sake of making and creating. They're making and
sure.
creating to make money. And because of that, it like takes away a lot of the artistic integrity. Like that's why Stephen King, whatever he publishes, it's going to be a bestseller because like people love him. So he
right.
can write that book where he takes the first two thirds of the book to build up to something and then drop it on you. Whereas Hulu doesn't. Like it's a Hulu
sure.
exclusive. If they don't make money on it, it's going to be bad for the company, you know?
Well, and I'm sure that their margins are different than if it were on network cable because, you know, I think that they're putting themselves more at a risk to do something like that than
smarter.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it's not even fear that you're going to lose or not make money. Sometimes it's the fear that you're going to get canceled. I mean, I've seen shows get canceled in episode 3. You know what I mean? It's just the fear that you have to grab them and you have to show them what you've got for those first two or three episodes and then hold it. You know what I mean?
And I think that's a big part of what's great about stations like AMC or like HBO. They greenlight a whole season. They make the whole season no matter what. They're going to play the whole season, and it allows you or almost like forces you to – if you're going to watch it, you're either going to watch it or you're not. Like you get 3 episodes in and you don't like it, so you stop watching it. But there is an audience for
right.
what you're creating, and it might take a little while for that audience to catch on. But when they do, they're going to be rabid about it.
Yep.
Like, I mean, there's something to be said for just sticking by your guns and being like artistically creative.
And I think that's what the Hulu show, Netflix, like you said, I think that's something that they should do more of. You know what I mean? Fuck everybody else for now. You know what I mean? You're making a show that you know people are going to watch. you know, let it build, like John was saying, you know, let it grow, but, you know, tell the story before we get to the action or to the madness or what. And that's what I love about Fear the Walking Dead, is that it did that. You know, you only saw one zombie in the first episode, maybe two in the next one, you know, because it built to something. It wasn't just a zombie show.
Right. Oh. Fucking Michael Bay and Amazon Prime and ruining our society.
Speaking of Michael Bay ruining everything, he signed on to do Transformers 5.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
He's going to do Transformers until there's nothing to be transformed anymore.
That,
right.
I believe that was called Transformers 3, Attack of the Toasters. Like,
He's going to remake Brave Little Toaster into a Transformers movie.
Oh, my. I would sing a song from Brave Little Toaster, but I don't know any of them. So.
Hannah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So let's see.
I'll throw a Fear of the Walking Dead thing out there because it's we were just talking about it, but it's going to debut April 10th, which is 4 months earlier than the last season debuted, which I think has something to do with how many episodes this season has. But I think it's cool that you essentially have less and less time between zombies. I think that's pretty cool. And they showed a still from the season already, and they're on. I don't know if you guys have watched this season yet.
I haven't seen it.
Nope.
Oh shit.
Me neither.
So at the end of this first season, spoilers, they find a boat. One of the guys has a home with a houseboat on it. So some of the stills from the next season are of them on the boat, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Sounds awesome.
There we go. I still want to see the fucking surfer zombie, man.
Getting drugged by a surfboard?
Red, bro. Hankton. I'm going to eat your fucking calves.
I still want to see The Walking Dead's homage to Lucio Fulci's zombie, where the zombie fights the shark.
Yes.
Like, I'm a huge fan of that.
Zombies in this world do eat animals because they ate the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the deer.
Yeah. Because zombies in the George Romero movies never did.
In the Lucio Fulci one, the shark attacks the zombie because it's like moving around on the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
And so the zombie fights the shark. It's That's awesome. Cool. If you haven't seen it, it's totally worth
seeing. I have not seen it.
It's amazing. So let's move to a little bit of Star Wars stuff.
Dun, dun, dun.
So there's obviously like big mysteries revolving around like who Rey's parents are and right. All this other stuff. But the thing that I found the most fascinating.
I know who Finn's parents are. We're talking to him right not. Now.
Ah, that's funny. No, but
So the thing that I thought was the most interesting is there's a side by side of Vader with his helmet off. And Snoke,
right.
And they both have like the scar on the top of their head and like the scar on their cheek and stuff like that. I think that's an interesting, though largely implausible theory, but that would be kind of crazy if like Supreme Leader Snoke was Darth Vader.
You would have to believe that Darth Vader survived some shit at the end of his life for that to have occurred,
right.
And that he doesn't look at least a little toasty.
hand loss, you know, yeah. Electrocution, and a fucking burning.
Snoke doesn't look very burny. I'm just saying.
No.
What if they're just burning his armor?
Suit.
What if they're just burning his armor?
I guess
you
that's
never, and that's the quote unquote course. Death of Vader. And then he was supposed to help Luke train the Jedi and whatever, but then he just goes back to the dark side because there's more power there.
I'm so sick of all the fucking fan theories around that movie. It's like,
are you really?
Jesus Christ, I really am.
You shouldn't be. We're supposed to talk about him.
I know. It just drives me nuts.
So here's what I love about him is
like, I'm going to write the most absurd fucking fan story and get it out there, and people are going to be like, did you hear this story? It's amazing. And what if it's actually true?
Do it, and we'll share it.
See, but that's what I like about it, is that you can project anything that you want into it. Like, it can just be fun. It's like fan fiction, like where fan fiction is just like, this is what I want to see, except for it's people speculating. And what if J.J. Abrams is like, you know what? That does sound fun. Let's just do that.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just, it's interesting.
he's looking at fan theories. I like that one.
Yeah.
just going to go with this, okay, Mr. Lucas?
Mr. Lucas, he's not there.
He doesn't have to ask Mr. Lucas
anything.
No,
I know, I'm just saying.
Have you seen the petition to bring Lucas back?
Why would anybody do that?
Like, we get it. George Lucas made up the Star Wars universe.
And but then he also almost destroyed it.
But then he gave us the prequels.
He's the Darth Vader to Star Wars.
Or the Emperor, which one?
Ooh. Mm. So Darth Plagueis is not Snoke.
According to Andy Serkis, which...
Right.
How can you trust that guy? He's only been bad guys in movies.
He's never ever shown his face except for in one movie.
How absurd is it? How out there is this idea that Snoke is just a new character?
No. No. Impossible.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's funny. I'm not annoyed by it, but it just makes me laugh.
I have to tell you, so one of my customers, his name's Billy Paris. He's an awesome dude. He's actually an aspiring comic book artist. He's going to RMCAD to be a sequential comic artist.
Nice.
He brought in the art book for the production of Episode 7. And it was crazy to go through that book and see what the precursor to Kylo Ren looked like. You know, his name in that book was a Jedi Killer. So it was just super interesting to see all of this stuff, you know, that they had come up in the pre-visualization stage for the movie. It was really, really cool. And it's worth a look if you're a huge Star Wars fan.
Nice. I know, like, it's funny because Nate, who doesn't listen.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Have been
fuck that guy.
I love it. Have been talking about Star Wars a lot because we're like, you know, the two giant nerds at work, whatever. And we got talking about Max von Sydow's role, the old man that's like kind of the person, you know, that has the map to Luke.
No spoilers here. You fuckers had time.
Yeah. So Max von Sydow's character is a guy named Lars Santeca, okay? And most of the information that people know about him is from what you're talking about. Like from a book that has like – it's one of those discovery books that has like all the characters and like all their gear and stuff like that.
Sure.
But it's like this is who he is, and there's a lot of speculation that he – there's a guy whose last name is Mendelsohn. I forget his first name, but he's one of the principal actors in Rogue One, or you know, the X-Wing movie.
Right.
And they're thinking that maybe he is that character because they say, you know, share like a cultural lineage,
right,
you know, an accent, nice, and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's cool. There's all these like little different hints to like what's going on in the Star Wars universe that are being dropped in like books and in the toys,
sure,
and stuff like that, that I think is really cool because it like fleshes out that universe. It's doing exactly what the toys did back in the 70s and 80s, where every tiny little character ended up with his own figure and you got invested. Like, you know, there was the IG-88 figure and the Boba Fett figure and like the little lizard guy bounty hunter figure. And then later down the line, I mean, literally years and years down the line, you get the novel or the short story collection Tales of the Bounty Hunters, you know, which fleshes out all those different characters. I'm hoping they go kind of in the same direction with that. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that the original toy line did amazingly well, that they marketed, you know, all of these super obscure. You saw them for a half a second in the cantina or in Jabba's palace, and they made an action figure of them.
So the best moment in the new Star Wars movie when I went to watch it with my wife was when they're at Maz's place and the music is playing. Mel goes, "Hey, I like this song." I thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So we've been going for about an hour. Some of that was fuck ups. let's take a quick break. We'll recapture John, and then we can go eat really quick.
Cool.
Is that good with everybody?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yes.
There we go.
All right. You need the gun, bro. You need the gun.
No, it's at the store, so I'll have that for the next
nice
break.
I said they fart gun.
Yes.
All right, brother. We'll catch up with you a little bit later, hopefully for at least a little bit.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, Thinking Outside the Long Box listeners, this is Gabe from the podcast that you're listening to right now. I want to talk to you guys about the Sketchbook Shop at thesketchbookshop.com. They are currently helping our show by giving you a deal on awesome sketchbooks that range in price from $5 to $25. We have some of these here at the show. We've been using them for different stuff. They're super durable with great thick pages that you could do anything from take your class notes in to get sketches done at cons. Like, this is definitely some high quality stuff. So be sure to check them out at thesketchbookshop.com and use our secret password, Longbox, to get a discount. Thanks, guys.
This is Albie from the Quantum Leap podcast and Bedtime with Bruce and A Conversation with Albie. And you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe.
Oh, we're recording?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right. And we're back.
Full of food.
I always want to take a nap at this point in the show.
Minus a John.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll come back, but he's in the shop. He's selling shit.
I know.
He's making his money. So that he doesn't have to prostitute himself.
Hey, Johnny. Baby, I got your money, Johnny. So
that's terrible.
That's the second time I've sung that song today.
Horrendous. Whores and Endus.
All right, so what do we want to...
I have both. I have On the Shelf and I have Miscellaneous. So.
So let's move on to our second segment.
Called
Still Whatever the Fuck We Want to Talk About.
Yeah. Aptly named insert title here.
Okay, so... There's a bunch of DC TV show newses.
Ooh.
Why don't you mention the one that literally broke as we were eating breakfast today?
So I didn't read the article, and that's stupid of me because I should have read it. But apparently Kevin Smith will be recording an episode of The Flash.
Or directing an episode of The Flash.
What'd I say?
Recording. I don't think he's going to podcast an episode of The Flash.
Yes, he is directing an episode of The Flash. It's going to air in May, close to the season finale.
Does it say, like, who the villain is or any of that stuff? Or is it just like, this is happening? He's reading. He's
one of those. Spider? I don't know what that is.
What's that?
The article says, I know I can't be the only one who hopes to see a robot spider in the episode.
Huh.
I have no idea.
Nice. Well, hey, Kevin Smith is going to make an episode of The Flash, and that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he can't. I mean, he's. I don't know. I don't. Has, as long has as he Bruce, done TV?
As long as Bruce Willis isn't in it, it should be fine.
That's funny. I like that. I like it a lot. I don't think he's ever. I mean, they had their own cartoon, but I don't think that he. I don't think he directed it. I think him and Jay were just like the characters because it was like a Jay and Silent Bob cartoon.
Yeah, there was a Clerks cartoon.
That's I think what it might have been.
But I'm gonna look. I'm gonna look and see if he's ever done TV.
Because I don't think he has, and I could be wrong.
I feel like he has, but who knows. Well,
so that
he has done television. It's this crazy little show called Comic Book Man.
But I don't think he... I mean, again, he's in the comic... He's in the show, but I don't think that he does, like, work on it. You know what I mean? Like, Rob Bruce told us he was one of the directors when we interviewed him. But I don't know that Kevin has any hand in that. I could be totally wrong, but I don't know.
I mean, I would assume on some level... Oh, he's actually... He worked on the show Reaper, too. I remember him talking about it.
I don't know what that is.
On one of the Evening with Kevin Smith things. It's like, it was a pretty funny show. Like, it was like really short-lived, though. You know what I mean?
Huh.
So, Clerks, the TV series.
Speaking of Kevin Smith, and we'll come back to this shit here soon. I'm still trying to figure out how to download the video that Smitty sent us, because he didn't email it to me like I asked him to.
Yeah.
So that I can play it in the episode, the question you asked him.
Oh, the question so I can just ask him, you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. So Gabe totally dropped the ball. He waited up there for probably damn near an hour.
Yeah.
Hour and 20 minutes waiting in line to ask the question, can we have an interview with you? And what did you ask?
Will you listen to our show?
Like a giddy fucking teenager, he asked the wrong question.
Dude, I turned into a little kid. Like, I turned into a total fanboy, and there was nothing I could do about it.
he brought comic books that he was supposed to ask to sign them. All kinds of shit he was going to do, and he forgot all of it.
Look, I just got excited. So it looks like the only other TV stuff he's done besides Reaper are like Jay and Silent Bob, like the live show things.
Okay.
And he directs those too, apparently. But yes, he did one episode of Reaper and then a TV short in 2002 called The Flying Car, which I've never heard of, so it can't be awesome. It's 7 minutes long. So
I think the Flash is going to have a 20-minute monologue in this. In this episode.
Mostly about like dildos or something.
He seems to be not that. I mean, I think there was a time where not necessarily that he wasn't relevant, but that he was kind of down and he didn't want to do a ton of stuff. I feel
He even said at one point that he was kind of like retiring. He was going to retire from making movies. You know, he felt like he had said what he needed to say, and that was kind of the end of it.
Right.
But then he got super excited about Tusk, and as soon as he got super excited about Tusk, people were like, "No, we still love you, Silent Bob. Please fucking make more movies." Like,
so it seems like he's becoming more and more relevant, even in this phase where he's making fucking crazy weird movies.
Right.
I think a part of that is just because he's a good director. You know, you may not like the material he's working with, but he's still a good director. He still does that shit well.
I think that's what bummed a lot of people out about Cop Out, is that they see that he's a good director. Clearly he has the ability to like direct movies and like make cool movies. But, like, when the writing was kind of taken out of his hands and he had to work with, like, somebody that he had problems with, it really reflected in the movie. So people were excited to see what Cop Out was like, and it just kind of fell flat. But it's hard, like, when you hear him tell the stories, it's really hard to, like, not see how that would fall flat. Like, it seems like Bruce Willis is a tool bag.
Well, if you've listened, I don't know if you listen to HBO anymore, you know, recently. Ralph tells a story in a couple of recent episodes where I think he's friends with the Russo brothers. He's like really good friends with them. So he saw that they were making some sort of movie or something, and he texted him he shot him an email, and he's like, "Hey, I just wanted to send you guys congratulations, blah blah blah. You know, hope good luck."
Good luck.
And they sent him an email back saying, "Hey, come be in the movie." And he sent a text message to Kevin being like, "Hey, I'm going to be in a Russo Brothers movie or whatever." And Kevin's like, "You know Bruce Willis is in that movie, right?" Like, that's the first thing he said. And the funnier thing is that it's time to shoot. And apparently, I don't know how contracts are written in Hollywood, but apparently Bruce Willis can just do whatever the fuck he wants. Because he literally, the one scene that Ralph was going to be in, he said, "I'm not shooting it." That's how he said it. We don't need that in the movie. Which is weird because he's a paid actor. He's not, has nothing to do with anything else. But he said, "I'm not shooting it. We don't need it in this movie." So they bent and they said, "Okay, we'll cut it." So they had to go and tell their friend, you know, "He doesn't want to do this part. So, you know, we can't have you come do this, but we're going to stick you in somewhere else." And it's like the one or two last days of filming, and where he was going to go do another part, he also said, "Nah, we don't need that part either." So Ralph got edged out of a whole movie twice
by Bruce Willis.
Because Bruce Willis just said he didn't want to do it, which is the weirdest thing in the world.
Now, do you think Bruce Willis doesn't want to do it because he hates Kevin Smith?
I don't know.
Kevin Smith is just like constantly talking shit about him. Like,
but it just seems like a dick thing to do. And I don't understand why. Like, fuck Bruce Willis. He doesn't, in the sense that you don't need him to draw money anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah, like people will go see his movies. But he's not
a star, but he's not so big.
He's not so relevant at this point. You know what I mean? People will go see his movie because he's Bruce Willis. But it's not like he's like...
But he's like the old Jason Statham.
Right. So it's just weird that directors and producers will just let him kind of dictate what goes on in their movie. And that's weird to me. Like,
if I
don't
were a
understand
director,
that.
I'd be like, "Shut up."
You don't want to do the movie? All right, see you later. What you do is you paint that picture like it's my movie. He tried to run rampant, and I'm not going to let him. Like, people just let themselves get bullied for no reason. Like, right. It's just so weird to me. I don't know. It's just weird.
I don't know. Maybe he's just really persuasive. Like, maybe he points guns at people or something. He's all, "I'm Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And we don't need this.
Yippee ki yay, bitch.
we don't need this scene in the movie, or I'll kill you."
It's just weird, but it's funny that they've both now like had horrible experiences with Bruce Willis.
That's funny. So Jewel, man, I want to say her name is said Stady. She was in Firefly as Kaylee, the engineer in Firefly. I don't know if you really...
I'd never watched Firefly. It would only had one season, right?
Yeah. You got to watch it. Like, seriously, you got to watch it. It's so good.
I hear.
But
that's anyway, one big thing that Albie really, really loves.
Kaylee from Firefly is going to be on Legends of Tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about that. It's just like a cool little, like, she's a great actress, cool person. Oh, John's calling.
Not a cool person.
Yes, she is. You shut your whore mouth. Kaylee from Firefly is going to be on Legends of Tomorrow. So
yes, that was in my notes, which I left at home. So
oh, nice. You son of a bitch.
Fuck those notes.
Fuck those goddamn dirty notes.
Hey, John, where are you at now?
I am at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles, 10336 Dransfeld Road, Unit 8, Parker, Colorado, 80134.
What's your email and phone number?
Shit, I don't know the phone number. I'll be right back.
What's that?
Somebody actually called me at the store. 303-484-9103. And email is hojcomics@gmail.com.
Nice.
Nice.
So if you need comics, Leo, or whoever else listens to this that doesn't live in Colorado, John's your man.
Yeah.
Hit me up. I'll help you out.
He's got an ass load of amazing comic books in his back issue selection.
You forgot headphones too, huh?
I have them. Would it help if I put them on?
Yes, please.
1 second.
I saw Summer Glau was gonna, they were gonna reunite with her Firefly people in
a ton of people from Firefly that are going to be in an upcoming episode of Castle, which is the show
that's
that
what it
Nathan
was.
Fillion is on.
Yes, I saw that also.
Nathan Fillion is probably one of my favorite actors. Okay. He is hilarious to me, and I don't think I've ever seen anything he's in that I didn't like.
Oh.
Especially Slither.
His wife?
He's on my wife's list.
Oh, of
she wants him to be inside of her?
Bang exceptions?
Yes, exactly.
She's like, get me that vag speaker and Nathan Fillion stat.
Yeah, just talk to me with your dirty serenity mouth.
Anal's not cheating.
Oh, God.
God damn.
That is brutal.
Because the anal ghost is just eating, so eating's not cheating, and by proxy... If the anal ghost is eating, then see how that works.
See, it's not cheating then.
I don't even know how we got there.
See what happens when you go to get your headphones and miss like 30 seconds of this show.
Completely fucking train wreck.
So we're talking about the DC TV shows right now.
Yes, I've watched none of them.
So as we were eating breakfast, the breaking news hit that Kevin Smith was going to direct the Flash episode.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'd watch that.
And then I had one other piece of Flash news is that John Diggle's character will be in a bunch of episodes of The Flash, or like in one or two episodes of The Flash dealing with King Shark. So
okay, so fill me in here, gentlemen. I have not watched...
I will fill you.
You'll fill me in?
All holes.
Fill me up, Buttercup.
Hey!
Hey-o. So I haven't watched any episodes of Flash except for the pilot. Or Arrow. Wow. Hold on. I mean, I have not watched any episodes of The Flash this season except for this season opener. I haven't watched any Arrow at all. Does Diggle really wear that fucking mask in the show?
Yes. The Spartan mask.
The Judge Dredd mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And they call him the Spartan every once in a while.
It looks, I mean, it just it's looks the like only he's... real thing that he actually wears. That, like, he has a totally black costume, but everything else is like coat and pants and shit.
He basically dresses exactly the same as he's always dressed in the show, but he wears a mask.
Yeah.
And somehow that's supposed to, like, trick people into not knowing that he's John Diggle. They also have, like, all these... There's tons and tons of jokes where, like, throughout both series in this season where they meet a new person and they either, like, hey, Barry Allen, or hey, Oliver Queen, or hey, John Diggle, and they go, come on! I'm supposed to have a secret identity here, like...
It's awesome.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. When you first see Hawkman and Hawk Girl, it's fucking cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's cool. I've got a chubby just talking about it.
Oh, shit.
Vibe is really cool. Like,
nice.
I mean, the Flash, I like both shows a lot. I really like the Arrow, but it's been kind of like melodramatic as of late, where the Flash has been way more comic booky and like action oriented. And I've been enjoying The Flash this season a little more than Arrow.
I like Melodramedy.
Melodramedy?
Melodramedy? Is that a lady?
I don't know.
Sounds like a prostitute.
Or a disease that you get from a prostitute.
True. Touché.
So, oh, you haven't watched. Are you going to watch Legends of Tomorrow? I mean, you're going to be kind of confused.
Am I?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because you need to know the backstory of what's going on with Vandal Savage.
Yeah, but...
And that's happening in Arrow?
It's happening in both.
So, towards the end of every season, they do the Flash-Arrow crossover episodes.
Sure.
And the Flash-Arrow crossover episodes were about their first encounter with Vandal Savage.
It
was really cool. Like, they were really, really good episodes.
Flash goes back in time again.
And Hawkman and Hawkgirl meet each other, and there's, like, this whole crazy story about this love triangle between the two of them and Vandal Savage and how they keep getting, like, reincarnated over and over again. Like, it's really interesting.
That's what I'm saying. You need to binge, I would say. I'd say at least those couple episodes if you're going to watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
I would agree with that, yeah. The crossover episodes. I mean, okay. Because they stand alone pretty well.
Right, like, yeah.
You don't really have to have known what's going on throughout the season other than vibe is becoming vibe. Like,
okay.
You know, it's just spoiler alert.
Sure.
That's only been going on for almost two seasons now.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, other than that, they stand alone pretty well. They're cool stories.
Do you have Hulu? Put it on your Hulu while you're at the fucking shop and nobody's there if you're putting comic books away or something.
I don't have Hulu.
So,
yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm at that point that Gabe always talks about where, like, we're mid-season finale and it's not on Netflix or anything yet, so there's not really a way for me to watch it.
Yeah, that happens.
But
you could just go to Google and type in free The Flash streaming TV episodes and things will come up.
Okay. I can do that. That ability.
It's very easy, my friend.
Good. Do you have a TV at the shop?
I don't.
Man, I've always...
He said he didn't want losers just coming in and watching TV.
Exactly.
Which would be me. Like, just, hey, can I watch TV?
And your wife already fucking messages me before you come down. She's like, Gabe needs to leave by 2 o'clock. And I'm like, he's an adult. He's a grown human being. I have no control over this.
It's okay. It's right. Okay.
He doesn't have any control over it either.
Yeah.
Hence the reminding. Hence the message.
That's okay. I still buy comic books from you. That's all that matters.
That's right. And I appreciate that.
Yes.
I appreciate you, John.
So you can come hang out for as long as you fucking want. I don't care.
Oh, well, then.
But I don't want Mel to get mad at me because she's the one that pays me.
Well, okay. Yes, she's the one that pays you, but that comes out of my paycheck.
Oh, hey.
She just does the actual action of it.
Gotcha.
Speaking of Arrow, John Barrowman, who is Malcolm Merlyn, is going to be writing, I think it's a miniseries, but he's going to be writing a comic book based off of Malcolm Merlyn that will give you more insight to the backstory of Malcolm Merlyn.
Oh, that'd be really
which
cool.
I think is really cool.
I like that.
But is it going to be Merlyn from the TV show or Merlyn from the DC universe?
It'll be Merlyn
from
the
TV
show. I'm guessing,
okay.
Which is why.
So it'll be. Oh, go ahead.
I feel like that's why they can give the reins to John Barrowman is
sure.
Because it's going to be backstory for the TV show, so it doesn't have to dwell within like the actual DC universe.
Right.
It's like the Flash season, you know, 1.0 and like the Arrow season 2.5 issues that they come out with. So
change the batteries.
Yeah, change the batteries. He can hear what you're saying, you dumb.
Yeah, right. Idiot.
Well, I was gonna edit that small part out.
Now I can't.
No, that's okay. We're good. I'm not flashing yet. I'm just low. So we're good.
Okay.
So here's a question, Gabe. When you were working at the nerd store, did those like Flash season 0 and Arrow season 2.5, did those sell well for you?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what's concerning about a Merlyn miniseries. It's like, you know, it's pretty obscure. That's why I didn't know if it would be if it was in the you know, comic book universe or if it was in the TV universe. But
so what I saw happening a lot is there were people that were excited about the TV shows because of the comics. But there weren't a lot of people that were excited about the comics because of the TV shows.
Sure.
Like, there's not a lot of cross-population backwards. Like, it's, I feel
which
like,
is weird,
I feel
because
like you see Stephen that a lot
Amell
with The Walking Dead, though.
Has a ton of fans.
Yeah, but
I don't know if he pushes his books, though.
They watch the show, and he doesn't really, like, promote the
that's
comics
what, that's
very
what I was
often.
Say.
So... And you see that a lot with The Walking Dead, though. You see a lot of people that have gotten into The Walking Dead because of the comic books, but you don't see a lot of people that are into the comic books because they like the show.
Right.
You just see a lot of people that just like the show, and even people that have no fucking idea that it even came from a comic book.
Or is even a comic book.
Yeah.
That's something that I get on a daily basis, too. Like, I've got some of The Walking Dead action figures from the show, and they're like... And I was like, do you want some of the actual comic books? And they're like, that's a comic book? I was like, that's how it started out as a comic book.
Of course it's a comic book. Everything cool comes from comic books.
And then they're like, okay, I don't want to buy anything from you anymore.
You've co-opted my culture, you assholes. I want it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking comic books
shit.
Back.
Hello?
Oh.
You got really quiet
got
all of a sudden.
You real quiet.
I did?
Yeah. Are you far away from your phone?
No, I'm on my laptop.
You should just turn him up a little if you can.
Yeah, do it. Turn it.
Do it.
Twist it just a little. Oh. Just
your nipple?
Oh yeah.
So I have... we started talking about Star Wars and then we took our break, so I want to come back to my last bit of Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
So there's always been that kind of like, at the end of A New Hope, well, why the fuck didn't Chewbacca get a medal?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well, droid. I mean, R2 took a fucking shot in the face from Vader.
Does R2 have a face?
Droids aren't real people. They're only 3/5
really
of
a
person.
Oh, makes me sad.
Anyway, so apparently...
What about C-3PO?
Oh, my
God. I'll fight for droid rights. I'm fine with that, man.
We don't serve their kind here.
You droid segregator.
Droid racist. What would be a good...
Droidist.
What would be a good slur for droids? Hey, rust bucket.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, so...
Hey, looking a little brown around the edges.
apparently in the newest issue of the Chewbacca standalone comic...
Which I haven't read yet.
There is a scene where he receives his medal and he gives it to his friend. It's like a... I forget... I think it's a young lady, like a teenage girl. I forget her name, but basically she did a lot of cool stuff too, but she doesn't get recognized for it because she wasn't like in the trench run. Like she wasn't a big factor in the battle. She just did some cool stuff. And Chewbacca basically wanted to recognize her. And so he gives her his medal.
Oh,
and so that's why you don't see Chewbacca with a medal is because he gave it to somebody else.
Ah.
I was like, man, that's...
What a righteous son of a bitch.
I was
going to
say, don't you dare disparage Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when Han dies and Chewie goes crazy,
dude,
that is fucking intense.
That was more painful for me than watching Han die. Like, because they really telegraphed what was about to happen. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch that. But when you see, like, it sounds dumb because, like, it's a dude in, like, a Wookiee suit. But you see and hear, like, pain.
Yeah.
And he fucking freaks out because, like, not only is it his best friend, but it's his best friend that he owes a life debt to. And he's supposed to protect Han, like, at all costs. Like, that's part of, like, the life debt oath that he takes.
Yep.
So... Dude, it hurt. It's, like, I was like, dude, the real emotional power behind that scene isn't Han dying. It's Chewie's reaction to it.
I completely agree.
He's like, I'm blowing this bitch to the ground.
I will fuck you up, First Order. Right. I will take my laser crossbow and jam it up your ass. Like... I do like all the scenes where Han gets to use the laser crossbow for the first time. He's like,
holy shit.
I like this thing.
For the record, that's called a bowcaster, assholes.
I like that you know what it's called.
I didn't even give it a name, so asshole would be better.
Okay, all right.
I think my wife was about to do something rude behind me, but I turned around.
Oh.
I think she was going to put her boobs on your head.
Anal ghosts.
Head boobs.
It's a ghost that lives in your anus.
Why do you have ghosts in your butt?
It's not cheating that way.
Yeah, because then the ghost is eating, so anal's not cheating.
Wait, that's what? That's the true Phantom Menace. Just my,
the fans, that's the true Phantom Menace, John says.
Oh. I am fucking hilarious. That's funny.
Oh, man, that is funny. That was funny.
Side note, I like your post about you trying to connect with us in the sea of your wife's makeup.
Dude, right?
Thank you. I'm glad you got that. That was awesome. Why are you guys so mean to
Carissa? We're not mean to Carissa.
She just has a ton of makeup and farts in the car.
That's right. On air.
On air. Look, it's not my fault that when she got out of the car, she blew ass so loud that we all got to hear it.
It was good to know you. Who gets your comics? Because you're about to die.
I'm not.
She doesn't listen to the show anymore, so that's okay.
Is it because of the Carissa farts?
No, it's just because we're never like together in the car driving anymore. Because I live in the store.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Side note: Star Wars news. I am looking at an article right now that says Billy Dee has signed on to make a cameo in the next episode.
Oh fuck yes! I have been wanting Lando to be in the new movies so goddamn bad. Like
they just better not make him Finn's dad. Because I think, you know, you've got this awesome, super strong new character. Why throw it back to something old, you know?
Why would they make it Finn's dad, though? That seems weird.
I don't know.
Like, is it because Billy Dee Williams is the only black man in the universe?
No, man, that's the debt because Billy Dee Williams helped him escape. So they stole his kid.
Helped to escape.
He helped? Yeah.
I could see that, maybe.
Whammy, see? Fuck! Give me a pen. I'm writing this shit down.
And J.J. Abrams still going to ignore it. So we had this really awesome moment when my wife and I went to go see Star Wars. One of the trailers before it was for Star Trek Beyond, which is the new Star Trek movie. My wife flipped out because she's a way bigger Star Trek than Star Wars fan. So I'm sitting there. She's just slugging me in the arm like over and over again going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's a new Star Trek movie. Why didn't you tell me? I'm like, I did tell you. Stop hitting me. Like, oh, it was so good. She's super, super stoked for that.
That's awesome.
I'm a little nervous about it because of Justin Lin. Like,
right.
And I feel like there's a lot more nuance to a Star Trek movie than just an action movie.
Sure.
And I haven't.
I think it's because they've presented themselves to be like the more intelligent. I'm talking Star Trek. They've positioned themselves to be more intelligent, a little bit smarter, I think, than just going out there and purely being action.
And I think there's a lot more depth to the story because
right.
there's so much more canon to it, especially with the new Star Wars movies. But I like the Fast and the Furious, the first one, and I liked Tokyo Drift, which I'm pretty sure Justin Lin also directed. But I don't know how well-suited his directing style is for a Star Trek movie. Other than that, I think it looks awesome, and I like the idea of like those people beyond the borders of the Federation saying, no, you're done
yes.
pushing out. Like, you don't need to get any bigger. Because the Federation, when you think of it in like a Star Wars versus Star Trek, the Federation really technically is the Empire. It's a little more good-natured than the Empire,
right.
But really, it's like a federation of planets that forces people to abide by their rules, like to the point where they have a fleet and a military and all of that. So,
no bueno.
No bueno.
Well, I think we talked about this before, but if, you know, I don't know if he's still attached to Aquaman, but I think Justin Lin is the director that's currently attached to direct the Aquaman movie. And so, you know,
that
don't
just means
fuck it up.
That just means Aquaman's going to have a banging ride, bro.
See, yeah.
Dude, it's a new MTV show called Pimp Seahorse.
Dude, it'd be so amazing if he like pulled up in like a dolphin with like grills and like like racing stripes and shit. Black Manta pulls up in like a whale.
His fucking helmet's all blinged out.
Yeah. It goes up and down and has like little spinny lights on it.
Nope.
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 Nope. Nope. Nope.
Oh, that's funny.
Put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't put that on me, Ricky. Don't lay your curse on me. Oh, man. So I'm out of miscellaneous stuff. Do you have more miscellaneous
stuff? You
son
of a bitch. M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalama ding dong.
Reviving. Tales from the Crypt.
Okay, A, M. Night Shyamalan is the perfect director for that, because every fucking Tales from the Crypt story is, here's the build-up and a twist. Like, every wow. single story is like
what
that.
A twist.
So I was super excited about this, okay? And I'm still excited about it, because I love, like, that kind of, like, anthology horror story, like, feel. I love the idea. Right. Like, I love Twilight Zone. I love Outer Limits. I love the old Tales from the Crypt. There's one piece of news that came out, I believe, yesterday that makes this slightly more disappointing to me. There will be no Crypt Keeper.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
That bums me out, man. Like, that's the quips and the shitty, like, puns that come out
right.
of the Crypt
intro
Keeper's
intro and
mouth.
The extra.
That's the best part of the EC comic books, and it's the best part of the old TV show. Right. Like, the show is cool, and the episodes are awesome. Like, I fucking love the Christmas one where the crazy guy dressed as Santa is, like, stalking the people in the cabin and yep. stuff. But what makes it hilarious is when Crypt Keeper says, they're getting ready for a sleigh ride.
Yes.
I mean, that's like, I hate puns, but I fucking love the Crypt Keeper. So.
Well, and it just shows that it doesn't take itself seriously. And that's what part of the fun is, I think, for me, you know? So it's sad that
I mean,
that's not
maybe
be
he
a
died, bro. He was like 200 years old in that show.
Dude, he is dead.
Yeah.
Maybe he died again. No, I agree with you.
It bummed me out, because that's, I mean, it's a big part. Like, that whole, like, the character that introduces the shitty, like, you know, EC story, or, you know, this comic book is haunted, or, like, any of those old, like, you know, pre-code books. I love the host. Like, the host is hilarious to me. And, like,
the host is the most?
The host is the most. So it just bummed me out. I'm still super excited to see it, because I love shows like that. But it just bummed me out that there's no Crypt Keeper.
Yeah. Me too.
Man, you guys remember Tales from the Dark Side?
Yes.
God, I loved that show. And do you remember Monsters?
It was a movie, too.
Yeah, they made a movie, too.
No, I don't. The little, is that the, well, they were different colors and shit, I think?
No. Monsters? You're thinking of Monster in My Pocket.
Maybe.
But there was a show that was a lot like Tales from the Crypt or Tales from the Dark Side, but it was just called Monsters. And there's this episode that I remember so vividly where this, like, super, super hot chick comes into this, like, pool hall, and she's, like, hustling this guy. And, you know, they're playing pool against each other all night long, okay? And then right as the sun's about to come up, she turns into a vampire and attacks him. And he, like, his pool cue, like, does this crazy, like, switchblade thing into a wooden stake. And he, like, stabs her through the heart and, like, pulls the curtains open, and it's daytime, and it destroys her because he's, like, this vampire hunter that's been hunting her for, like, decades and decades. It was, like, the coolest fucking episode of a show.
Do you remember Tales from the Hood?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that thing's
that was the coolest
hilarious.
Movie ever. John?
I don't remember that.
John's not ghetto enough to
oh,
watch.
It was
Tales
a good movie.
It was really funny.
I'm sorry.
You son of a bitch.
It's funny.
You son of a bitch.
You should totally watch it sometime, John.
I remember seeing, like, the previews and promos and stuff about it, but it just never made it into our VHS tape player.
You know what was another cool, like, kind of anthology horror movie is the ABCs of Death.
I don't remember.
It's like
that
26,
one.
Like, you know, 2-3 minute little vignettes, each one correlating with a letter of the alphabet. It's some of them are super funny, some of them are really creepy. Like, it was a really, really fun movie.
On to the next thing.
Didn't see that one either.
You don't see anything.
I know, I don't, man. I fucking own a comic book store now.
I know. I don't want to say nothing, but some of these movies came out like 20 years ago.
That's fine.
A little bit of James Bond news.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Christoph Waltz, the guy who played the major villain in this last one, he said that he would come back and do two more to end a trilogy as long as Daniel Craig came back. So they're doing what they can to make sure that Daniel Craig doesn't leave.
Yeah, but I really want to see Idris Elba James Bond.
I don't think they'll pull the trigger on that.
Okay, so we've all seen the picture of, like, giant schlong Idris Elba, right?
No, I missed that too.
I've never seen okay, Idris Elba's dick either.
There's this picture that's been floating around, and I heard about it because of Hollywood. Babylon.
Yeah, I don't know what pictures he's looking at.
You're full of crap. Sure, I know you've seen it.
Anyway, I've never seen it.
Anyway,
I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen
it. So, like, apparently, like, in the picture, not apparently, because I've seen the picture. I don't need to sugarcoat
that. He's seen the boner.
It looks like it goes to, like, his knee. You know, like Liam Neeson's dick big, or like John Hamm big dick, right? So I watched Beast of No Nations with my wife this weekend, or like a couple weekends ago, which stars Idris Elba, and it's about like...
It stars Idris Elba's dick.
Well, no, it just stars Idris Elba, but it...
He's the
his
beast.
His dick makes a cameo.
Can I fucking talk? This is going to be funny when I get to the end of it, if you guys would just shut the fuck up. Anyway, so there's a scene where he's wearing shorts.
Jorts.
And I'm watching it, and all I can think to myself is, his dick can't possibly be as big as it is in that one picture, or it'd be poking out the bottom of his shorts. And then I was fixated on that for like fucking 20 minutes of that movie. That's it.
I don't know where the laughter comes in.
Yeah, that wasn't that funny. I was going to hope you were going to say, like, you got a peek at the tip or something.
His balls drooped out of one side.
They're about to get him.
I saw it.
Anal ghost.
Oh, shit.
I hate you guys.
That was funny, bro. Don't let us tell you any different. That was funny.
No, it wasn't.
That was funny to you.
It was a letdown. To you. Funny to me.
My last bit of miscellaneous news. The Hateful Eight, apparently somebody made a weird decision, and in the UK, it's only being shown in 70mm.
Oh, that's
so
cool,
there's
though.
Like, but that means that there's theaters who said we're just not going to do it.
And there's only like probably like 15 or 20 theaters that are playing.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but apparently it's struggling in the UK because there's theaters who said, well, we're not going to do it. We'll play something else, which
and
is
like,
crazy.
I hear the 70mm roadshow of it is actually like almost 40 minutes longer than like the regular theatrical cut, because the regular theatrical cut is like 3.5 hours long.
The one I saw was 3 hours and 2 minutes.
And then the road show, I guess, is like almost 4 hours long with an intermission.
It's a good movie. You need to go see it.
I probably want to borrow the DVD so that I don't miss it, but I
have no idea what DVD you're talking about.
I don't either. I'm just saying, once somebody buys it.
Yeah,
legal,
yeah, no, yeah,
for sure.
When
it comes out.
When it comes out on Blu-ray.
Of course, in the future.
Yeah.
FCC in
the
case
year 2000.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I actually have some news.
Hey!
Hey!
And we're back!
John's got news and we're back! They released photos of the Ghostbusters. Well, that too. Jesus. They released photos of the new Ghostbusters toys, the 6-inch toys with all the female cast, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm still not sold.
I saw one of the promo pics of them, and they look cool. Like, I'm excited.
Just not sold.
I like Ghostbusters, so.
I love Ghostbusters, and it's a goofy movie, and I wasn't old enough at the time to kind of see what the promos and everything look like. So to me, this looks like they're not taking it very seriously, but I don't know if that's kind of how it was to begin with, because I know it's a goofy movie, but it just looks... It just looks really, really cheesy to me.
Dude, Ghostbusters is serious business.
Serious.
Serious.
Dude, I bet you could call them, Gabe, for your anal ghost.
Dude. I bet they can help that. Who are you going to call? Anal Ghostbusters.
I ain't afraid of no anal ghost.
Oh, that was perfect.
Oh, shit.
So here's the weird thing, and maybe it's just me being picky, but like, it's so they're... You. Their new costumes have a lot of reflective tape on them. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if I'm trying to catch a ghost, I would want to be as stealth as possible. I don't want a lot of light reflecting around so the ghost knows that I'm fucking coming to trap it.
So but here's something that's really weird. Because I work, like, because of what I do for a living, working in the cooler and, like, having to, like, go in and out, they make
That's what
us,
she said.
Oh,
hey!
My God, shut up. They... they make us wear jackets and shirts that have that same kind of reflective stuff on it.
So you don't get run over by a forklift or something?
Yeah, so you don't get run over by a forklift, or if you're outside at night, you don't get hit by like one of the guys moving the trailers around and stuff. Like it's like a protection thing. So
that
when
makes sense.
So when I saw it, I immediately thought of some weird bureaucratic agency saying, no, you guys have to put reflective stuff on your on your jumpsuits because you work at night and you might get hit by a car while you're fighting ghosts. So you have to have it on there. I'm sure they won't tell a joke like that in the movie. But in my brain, that's why they're dressed like that, because I noticed the same thing. I was like, oh, they have all sorts of that reflective shit all over them, just like I do.
I really hope that the name of that government agency is Ghost-sha instead of OSHA.
Hey.
Be awesome.
Hashtag Gosha.
Hashtag copyright.
Gosha. Copyright.
Gosha. Dude. But you have to figure out an acronym fully for like G-H-O-S-T.
No, I don't, man. I just have to come up with a funny fucking name. That's what I do.
Somebody else's job is the other shit.
You do the hard work. I'll just come up with a brainstorming.
I love that they, like in the Marvel show, how they actually, or in the Marvel movies, they made up the acronym for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, that's a mouthful.
And yeah, it is a mouthful. Holy shit.
That's what she said.
Strategic Homeland Interdictory Efficiency Squad.
Interdictory? Is that even a word?
No.
Interdictory.
Interdick?
Oh, God.
Talking about docking here.
Hey!
I've been stretching my foreskin, so I've got lots of
your foreskin.
Oh man,
I'm glad nobody's at the store right now.
It would be amazing if like a parent and a child like opened the door right as you said that and just backed out slowly.
Wait, come buy some shit, please.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. I don't stretch my foreskin.
I'm just on this terrible show with these terrible people.
Fucking idiots that don't even want me on the show.
Idiot. Don't lump me in with that shit.
Whatever.
It's funny because you can, in the pictures that Mark May posted, you can see my message behind his head.
I know, that was awesome. You know what's even funnier, though? When you wrote featuring Thinking Outside the Long Box, you spelled it incorrectly and Marika had to come correct.
Oh, featuring? What is that what I spelled wrong?
Yeah, you spelled it wrong.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Featuring.
Yeah.
Anyways, on the shelf.
Oh, okay.
Juan wrote.
Comic books and shit that's on the shelf.
Yes. And on the shelf, I read a lot this few days.
Juan can read.
Whoa. I read Vampirella, the Evil Dead and Vampirella one, which I was actually not a big fan of. If you haven't read it, the whole story is she accidentally came to the past where he's at with the monk guy, you know, olden times. And then she like kills somebody easily and then she goes back to her own time. It was very anticlimactic for me. I didn't enjoy it.
In general, I've been pretty disappointed with the Dynamite Vampirella stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Yeah. The Vampirella alien one, that is actually really cool. It's really good because in the Evil Dead Vampirella one, she seems very dominant. Like, she can't be touched. Like, she seems invincible. But in the Alien Vampirella one, like, when you first see her, she has she has an alien pop out of her chest and shit, and she's getting fucking thrown around by aliens and stuff. It's really cool. It's really exciting. Like, that gets me more than somebody who can just come in and be like, you're dead.
Right.
But that's been, I like those series so far. The alien one, it's been pretty cool.
Nice.
That's one of them.
I like the old Vampirella stuff, but the newer Dynamite stuff, I haven't been a huge fan of. Like, there's the first few issues of the Nancy Collins run were pretty good, but past that, like, Southern Gothic wasn't very good, and like a bunch of the other stuff. And even going back into like 80s and 90s Harris Vampirella, it just feels real flat. Like, it's like it's there to show off Vampirilla's body but not write a good story, and that bugs me.
In the Alien Vampirilla, she's not dressed like like she's in her like swimsuit. She's actually dressed.
Yeah,
it's really funny because you can't like the facial features is one way you'd be like, oh, that's Vampirilla, but
and then they say her name.
Yeah, but you yeah. It doesn't look like you would normally think Vampirilla would look like in a comic book. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Nice.
What have you been reading, John? Anything awesome?
I read fucking Swamp Thing number one, bitches.
So jealous. I wish I had that already.
And I'm going to spoil the crap. No, I'm just kidding.
Spoil away.
Yeah.
It's way cool. So for those of you who don't know, you know, DC is doing a Swamp Thing miniseries. It's 6 issues. It's written by Len Wein, and it's got art by Kelly Jones. And it's the perfect throwback to the original Swamp Thing. You know, nice. It's not the wings and antlers Swamp Thing that we got from Scott Snyder, which was still amazing, but it's like it's old school Len and Bernie kind of Swamp Thing. You know, he's mucking around in a swamp, wrestling with alligators and shit.
And if there's anybody that can like obviously not replicate Bernie Wrightson's art style, but kind of like have the same feel, like
sure.
and sensibility, it's Kelly Jones. Like
and pay homage to it, you know, yeah. And say this is his origin. This is the roots of the Swamp Thing.
I see what you did there.
Hey, yeah. Gabe's copy is going to be all sticky and shit when he gets it from John.
No,
it is.
No,
purposely.
It's
going to
be beautiful.
Why can't I unstick these two pages?
Why but is John jerking it onto my Swamp Thing.
When did Swamp Thing turn white?
But it's super cool. It's really good, and it's got that old school Swamp Thing horror stuff going for it. It's super wordy. It's got a lot of kind of narration, which is Len Wein's style back in the day. So I think you're gonna love it, Gabe. I was pumped for it. It didn't disappoint, and I can't wait till the rest of them come out.
Nice. You know, it's interesting that like Len Wein's style is so much that way. Like I've spent a lot of time. Like over the last couple of weeks reading a lot of like pre-code stuff. So like,
sure.
You know, I've been catching up on Haunted Horror and I read my copy of Intrigue number one. And like, I got the Marvel Millennium edition of House of Mystery number one. So like I've been reading a lot of stuff like that. And
nice.
The one thing that's like really distinguishing between like Golden Age and like, I mean, even everything after Silver Age is not like this, but like the Golden Age and Atomic Age books are super word dense.
Yes.
Like, I mean, there's little tiny bits of picture and then like whole frames filled with just words.
Yep.
You know, and it's really cool because like Len Wein comes from like that era of comic book writing. So it'll be awesome to see what he does with Swamp Thing. So,
yep.
Or does with Swamp Thing. Again.
I love Len Wein.
I do love Len Wein.
I don't know who that is.
Me too.
I know who it is. I just don't. You know me. I've said before too. And it's with movies too that I love. I'm in a spot where I like the book, but I don't necessarily know like who draws it or who writes it all of the time.
Right.
I don't have that connection yet.
I mean, he's probably got to be credited with some of the he created Wolverine, for fuck's sake, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
With Herb Tempe.
Some of the most with popular... Herpes? Oh, God.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that.
No, me neither. Because he's not
dead.
With us anymore.
Fuck yeah. You.
Who? Herpes? Herb Tempe?
Herb Tempe, yeah.
Herb Tempe's.
What else did I read? I caught up on Loeb.
I caught up on... Oh, Loeb?
That was my pick of the year for last year. And I had a couple of issues that I hadn't caught up with. And I got through them and it was amazing. So
I need to start picking that up for Mel because the way you describe it, I feel like it's right up her alley.
Yes.
She was reading 6 Voyages of Lone Sloan for like the 4th time this weekend. Like,
nice.
She loves that book. So
that's cool.
I caught up with Outcast and Trees this week. Trees, I really like. You know, Warren Ellis writing it about these like giant like pillars that come down out of space and like some really cool stuff has happened in their world where they call them trees and the trees sprout like these plants and they send like this, you know, radio signal up and destroy the earth. And it's like all the cool ramifications of it, like how, you know, New York is kind of like a Venice now because there's canals instead of streets. And
right.
It's just a really cool like dystopian sci-fi book. I really enjoy it. I'm not 100% sure where it's going, and I kind of like that
about
it. It's very it keeps me reading it because I'm intrigued to see where it's going. But it doesn't spin its wheels like some other books like that do. Outcast started out so slow. Like the first, I want to say like 7 or 8 issues feel like nothing is happening. Like, you know that there's demons in this world. You know that this one particular guy can like cast a demon out just by touching a person. And he's like paired up with this priest that's constantly being tormented by a character who I assume is the devil. And then from like issue 9 to I think they're on 13 is just like a roller coaster of crazy. Like all sorts of stuff happens all at once. And nice. It's really, really cool.
That's cool.
I mean, honestly, if you are interested in it because, you know, it's a Robert Kirkman book and, you know, the whole I love The Walking Dead right. thing, like, and the whole Outcast TV show is about to come out too, like, you got to get past that first trade, and then past that, it really starts to pick up steam. Like, it feels like the first trade is very much like a world building exercise where he's like setting the ground rules. And, it, you know, it's like you said, there's that, you know, instant gratification right. thing where if like a comic doesn't grasp my attention in like the first 3 or 4 issues, you know, a lot of people will drop it. But this one is definitely worth sticking with.
Nice.
You know? And The Walking Dead was very much that way. Like, sure, there's a lot of zombie action stuff, but you don't really get super invested in the characters till, you know, about halfway through the second right. trade.
Speaking of The Walking Dead, I'm one issue behind, but the last issue has been really, really good. Dealing with the Whispers and Alpha killing a lot of their people, it's been really good. I don't want to spoil the ending because you read, right? I don't know if John reads or not. I don't know.
I'm on 148 is the last one I read.
I don't remember the one I just read.
What, 149 is the most recent, and 150 comes out next week.
Then I just read 148 yesterday.
Yeah, then. That's the one with Alpha's face on the cover.
Yes, yeah.
And she's crying. And
yes.
Stuff. Dude, it's...
So the very last page of that book is fucking awesome in the sense that I'm excited where that's gonna go.
Yeah,
super like there's no action or anything on that last page, but it's just a page where it's like, oh my god, this is gonna get really cool.
And there's so much like interesting like political drama
right.
between like the different factions that have arisen from like the different groups that are around each other in different cities, but also like within Alexandria itself, and like, you know, Rick's original core group and the people that were already in Alexandria, and like all that like infighting and stuff is really, really interesting. Like it's cool. Like it's become, I mean, we've talked about this multiple times where the threat is no longer really the zombies. Right. The threat is other people and how other people are going to react to you. Like it's such a good book.
Right, I love now. That Negan's just lingering in the back. Like, you don't see much of him through a lot, but he's back there.
He's always very present. Like, he's always very much so an important part of the story. You know, they might throw Negan in like 2 panels, but those 2 panels mean a lot to like what's going on.
Fucking catch up, John.
Have either of you guys read Ringside?
I haven't yet. I just put it into my pile to read, but I'm excited to read it.
I think you're the only two that are reading it. I haven't gotten any feedback from anybody, so I don't know what's.
I'll give you some feed on your back.
I'm sure you will. There's a couple of new series that have been out for a little bit now that are pretty cool. There's a new Rocketeer called The Rocketeer at War that's published by IDW, and I love The Rocketeer, but I love The Rocketeer because of Dave Stevens and his art, you know, with a very pinup style from when he created the character. Everybody thinks The Rocketeer has been around since like the 40s and 50s, but he's a pulp character that they created in the 80s as a throwback. So I haven't read The Rocketeer at War, but it's got a beautiful cover, a very pinup-y kind of cover, and I hear good things about it from the people that have read it. And there's also a new Judge Dredd series that's also published by IDW that I'm really interested to read because I really loved that last Dredd movie.
Yes.
And so I don't know if it's anything, you know, in the same vein as what they did with that show or not, but I've always kind of liked the Judge Dredd stuff.
Does Diggle make a crossover?
I don't know. I haven't looked through it yet. He might be in there somewhere.
That's awesome.
I have not seen the new Judge Dredd movie.
You haven't?
Because it looks I love the old Judge Dredd.
It's really, really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It's just a straight up great action movie.
Nice.
Like, it's a ton of fun.
Like John.
I caught up. Yes, just like John.
I'm a ton of fun. You call me fat, asshole?
No, I just wanted to say you were a lot of fun.
Ah, damn it.
I think that's Juan saying he doesn't want you on the show.
I know. It is. Fuck you guys. I quit.
No, don't quit. That was awful that week.
That was awful. There was so much tension.
I know. It was bad.
Gabe wants to go.
Gabe does want you to go,
I do
though.
Not want him to go. Not
we
at
only,
all.
We only need to see John on a blue moon, and it's got to be a Friday.
Once a year.
Isn't what I said at all.
Once
and a new issue of Bitch Planet came out this week, so that's kind of
nice. That's in my pool, right?
That's another one that I don't read, but I hear really good things about.
It is a great book. Like, it's a phenomenal book. I'm excited.
This one is like the penny roll, so it's going to be a one-shot. I don't know who it's focused on, but they did, I think, 3 issues, and then issue number 4 was kind of a single issue focused on one of the characters in the series, which was Penny Roll, and I believe that 6 is that same way.
Nice. It's kind of cool. Like, I like the focus on like an individual character so that you can kind of get more backstory on who they are, because the cast of the book is so big that sometimes it's a little tricky to like kind of keep track of all of it. So,
and you know, the art is a little, it's not super detailed. And so I have a hard time figuring out who's who, you know, a lot of times, just because it's not that detailed. So it's nice when they have, you know, these kind of introspective pieces that are on one of the members of the cast so that you feel a little more connected to that person.
Right. I agree with that. That's awesome. I'm just saying, I agree with that.
No, I agree.
Anyway.
Why does Gabe want you off the show?
I don't know. I don't
want him off the show.
Gabe, did I do something to you?
Shut up, Bailey.
Did I miss a book in your poll or
no? You haven't. That makes me super happy. By the way,
well, good.
Well, good.
I try not to. I mean, it happens occasionally, but
I caught up on East of West this week too.
Nice.
I read like 1920, 21, and 22. There's a silent issue, and I love silent issues.
So
it's
cool.
Like this whole scene where the leader of the People's Republic of California, I think is what it's called, the Chinese California.
The prof?
She gets attacked, and the whole comic is just like this panel-by-panel fight scene.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then the very last page has like the only dialogue on it, and it's like, oh, it's just super cool. It's just like – it's like the issue of Hawkeye with Pizza Dog where there's not really any dialogue in it, but like you're 100% invested in the story because Pizza Dog is like so empathetic and it's super funny and hilarious. Like this is the same way, except for it's this brilliant fight scene that you can almost like imagine what it would look like choreographed like in a movie. Oh, it's super, super cool. Like it's a great issue. I think that's the latest issue of East of West.
Is it the black and white cover?
It has like a sword on it. Like there's just a sword dripping blood on it.
That's the last, the current one is not that issue.
Oh, okay. So there, okay. I'm just one behind.
Okay.
But
he takes one in the behind.
Man, what is with you and the anal stuff today?
I don't know.
Did you get some anal last night?
No.
Congrats, Alicia.
I've been feeling like shit the past couple weeks because of Gabe.
That's also a butt joke.
I love gold.
Right.
I read the latest issue of Headlopper. Also
nice.
Really cool. The easiest way to describe it is if Mike Mignola made Conan. Like it has that kind of like graphic art style that Mike Mignola uses, and then it's basically just about a giant barbarian that cuts off things' heads.
I could see Hellboy beating up some barbarians.
Dude, did you guys see on the CCBE the
fucking Randy
Salazar's Bobby Hell?
That was awesome.
I did see it.
Bobby Hill is Hellboy.
All the shit that he got, man. The Zek sketch of Hellboy and the Jay Lee sketch of Hellboy that he got are amazing.
I figured you were paying him to get you something.
No. Jay Lee's going to be at Denver Comic Con, which is cool. So getting him to do a sketch or something.
I can't wait until we get to get out to our booth again.
I know.
Right? It'd be amazing.
I'm super stoked for Denver Comic Con this year.
Like, I might come all over the table.
There's a ton, a ton of people that are going to be
not
there.
Not on the comics.
Not on the comics.
Not the comic books. Stay on target.
That's right. Almost there.
Stay on target.
Oh, man.
There's one right behind me.
Came from behind.
So I'll just keep going with my on the shelf.
Well, you were saying something about people coming to Comic-Con.
About guests or something at Comic-Con.
Well, I'm just, there's a lot of artists and like, you know, actors and stuff already that have been announced like really far in advance.
Oh, yes.
That I'm super excited
about.
Oh,
yeah.
God, you're a dick, Juan.
The Colorado Springs comic show seems a little promising.
So
no? Next question.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I talked to the two guys that are putting that together at Rocky Mountain Con, and right. I guess they do there's a show out east, Rhode Island. I think they do a Rhode Island Comic Con. So it's just weird that they're in Springs and they're trying to do a spring show that's going to be almost as expensive as Denver is with not many of the guests.
It does seem a lot smaller for the price.
Is that before or after Denver Comic Con?
I think it's after. I want to say that's in August.
So maybe we don't know all the guests yet, maybe?
I'm sure we don't. I mean, they've only announced one, so that's not really a driving factor to go to the show, the one guy.
Right. Is that the Green Ranger?
Yes.
And the White Ranger?
Yes.
Because they're the same person, yes. Aren't they? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know much about Power Rangers. So. How about Cheyenne Comic-Con? Did you guys see anything about that?
I haven't seen any news, but I just saw that it was coming.
So there's not a ton of like big names attached to it, but it's really inexpensive and it seems very comic book focused.
Well, so I looked at.
So John talked to the guys that run this show too.
No. I looked at booth costs, and booth costs for Cheyenne for a 10x10 are the same as Denver, which is insane to me because it's the first year that they've ever done the show. And so in that regard, I thought, hey, yeah, let's go do it. It's not super far away. It's a short drive, blah, blah, blah. But then I saw the booth costs, and I was like, nope, fuck no.
No, thank you.
That's weird. I didn't know that about the booth costs. Like,
yeah. F you, Cheyenne Comic-Con.
Don't say that.
And that just – it just scares me because if you don't have – so if it's supposed to be very comic-driven and none of the comic vendors can pay your – or want to pay your booth pricing, then you're not going to have very many comic vendors. I don't know, you know?
Gabe, this is my show. This is our show, sir. We can insult whoever we want to insult.
I know, but like,
don't all of a sudden be PC on
what
me.
What if one of the Cheyenne Comic-Con guys were like, man, I love that podcast.
Oh, sorry.
I really want to invite them to our con.
Then
and you were like, fuck you,
then,
Cheyenne Comic-Con.
Then maybe on your first year you shouldn't charge fucking $1,000 for a goddamn booth.
Yeah, $700 for a 10x10
yeah,
for an event.
Think about that shit.
That does seem like
I'm not fucking scared, especially
considering like who is going to be there. Like,
right.
there's not so many like amazing people that it's going to bring a bajillion people to Cheyenne to go to the con.
Right. That's just crazy. I mean, I think you've got to build your audience before you start demanding a premium for anything.
Well, and so far their biggest like artistic guest is Alfred Trujillo, who's like a really nice guy and a really great artist, but he doesn't really draw for like huge comic books. It's not like a Jay Lee or like a Lin Wein like they're having at Denver Comic-Con that's going to just draw a shitload of comic book collectors to get signatures and stuff like
that. Well, and even like with Rocky Mountain Con, so it's not the biggest show in the world, but you know, a table at Rocky Mountain Con I think was $200, and they had George Perez, and they had, you know, the chick from who plays Nissa Al Ghul, yes, and a bunch of other cool people there. So I don't know.
Yeah, it seems weird.
It's scary. Very weird.
I mean,
hang on one second, guys.
Do you have a customer?
What's happening? Nice.
Who is it?
The Courageous Spider-Man.
The Courageous Spider-Man.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So cool.
It's the coolest thing ever.
What?
No way.
So it's kind of a. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Very cool.
You're very cool.
Super sweet.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Okay.
I figured you'd know someone who was, and they'd appreciate more money.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
No, for
that's
sure.
Super
yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Way
yeah.
cool.
Awesome.
I keep in mind.
So rad.
Box. In one of your box things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
I keep that around it. That comes out.
Nice.
Oh, it comes out.
I've heard talk of a box as well.
A dick in a box?
Oh.
I thought it was an interesting book, but I'm not a Spider-Man person. So
sure.
Like,
I'm a Spider-Man person.
Dude, it is an interesting book.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I can find it at home for you.
Yes.
You're talking to anything.
Awesome. awesome.
Yeah. Amazeballs.
Amazeballs Spider-Man.
That was
he
so
can
cool.
find a fucking home for anything.
I can find a home for your ass.
You'll like that when you hear it.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
No, nothing to be sorry about. We just made an amazing little segment on the podcast right there.
I want to know what Spider-Man you got.
So this gal who her husband works at the fish store around the corner from me, she got some kind of nerd box in the mail thing, like
subscription thing
stuff. Yeah, so it's a little book called The World According to Spider-Man. It's a little hardback book, and it's got all kinds of little things, little kind of cool things. It's got like a what the fuck is it? It's got a letter from J. Jonah Jameson to Peter Parker in it, and how he became a hero from a zero, and care for costume, how he watches his costume and shit.
So what you're saying is that should go into my poll immediately.
It can.
It should.
It certainly can.
It should. It certainly should.
Are you a Spider-Man fan, Juan?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I don't want to go into your poll.
Because I love Spider-Man.
He's not a Spider-Man fan. He's a Spider-Man fanatic.
Oh.
Fanatic.
Fan in the attic.
That's awesome. There's a whole section called Rejected Costumes.
Oh, that's like, got to be cool.
The Amblin Arachnid. El Araña Furioso.
Sounds awesome, actually. I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan. That sounds pretty funny.
It's pretty cool.
So go ahead and put that in my pool.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, it's got his report card from Midtown High School. He got an A in algebra, a B in metal shop, a B plus in English, an A minus in biology, an A plus in chemistry, and a C minus in physical education.
Oh.
Because he's a weenie.
Fucking Peter Parker.
It's pre-Spidey.
So, do we want to take a break and come back to old man?
Well, I have...
You still have shit?
I have one more on the shelf that I want to talk about because I was super excited about this comic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Dynamite put out a comic book called Seduction of the Innocent, which is a reference to Frederick Wortham, who wrote the book that basically caused the comic book code to happen.
Okay.
So I was super excited about it. The cover looks really cool. It's got like a guy holding a severed head and a bloody knife and all this other stuff.
Well, and it's a Frank Avila cover,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's a Frank Avila cover. It's super beautiful-looking book. It is so weirdly flat. Like, it's not very gory. It's not very action-intensive. Like, the story is just kind of weird. Like, it involves, like, a Nazi plot. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to collect all four issues of it because it's in my poll, and I want to read all four issues and see where it goes. But I was just like, oh, I was so excited for this, and it's so not what I thought it was going to be.
It's so terrible.
It's not terrible. It's just not.
I hope the second one's better.
There is definitely, I hope the second one's better.
That's funny.
More Nazis.
That's funny.
It's one of those risks you take, though. I mean, you never know with some of this shit. You know?
I don't know what the fuck I don't know anything about Ringside. Not one damn thing.
Yeah, you do.
Except for that it takes place in a wrestling ring.
About wrestling.
And that's what I wanted it for. I could give a fuck about what the story was until I actually read it, and then I might never get it again.
But it is written by Joe Keating, who does Shudder and a bunch of other really great books. So, I mean, pretty excited.
Yeah, I can tell in your voice.
So
excited. Yeah, me too.
I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. Oh, shit. He's about to take his clothes off.
I know.
He wants me to put water on him.
I want you.
Very excited.
I just did the flash dance move. All right. So,
John, you want to take a break and then come back to old man shit?
I would love to do that. Where the fuck is my fart gun? God damn it.
Uh-oh. Go get it. Hurry. Oh, God. I don't know where it is. We're going to hang up on you.
Is it in the toy box? Oh, where's the fart gun?
I can't do it. I can't end the segment without the fart gun.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, where's the fucking fart gun?
No idea. It's probably stuffed in a short box somewhere because my son likes to hide things in the store.
Oh, that's hilarious. Hopefully it's not his soiled diapers.
Hey.
I would smell that, trust me.
Just all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All right, John, I'm going to have to enter.
On that note.
We will talk to you in a bit.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice. John, hey, John, I want to buy a bunch of comic books. Where should I go?
You can do that, Gabe. All you have to do is go to www.halljusticecomics.com.
What?
That's right. Your one-stop source for what you see is what you get back-issue comics.
What?
New comics.
What?
Trade paperbacks.
What?
Supplies.
What?
And all kinds of other cool nerd shit.
Awesome. What?
That's right. Stop by at halljusticecomics.com for all of your nerd obsessions. You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/halljusticecomics, Twitter at @HOJComics, or Instagram at @HOJComics.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mario Candelaria, writer of comics such as Ashes and Epilogue, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
You should see how erect he is.
I bet.
I made him, I made him push record before I said that.
Bet you can see it through his little pants, huh?
His shorts.
Oh!
Fart gun!
I found it!
Why are you unnerving? Why are you unnerved, John?
Because it's poking out the shorts. We're seeing the tip.
Yeah, we don't want you to be unnerved.
No. Your whole sexual prowess today is just a little unnerving. Because I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe, I guess Juan needs a good lay or something.
I just like how you're talking and going with the
through
fart
the farts.
Right? Well, I have the noise canceling headphones on, so I can't really hear the fart gun, which is kind of funny.
So this is the old man segment.
For a gem of a segment.
The ghosts make my bowels loose.
Back in my day, it was illegal to fart in public.
Dude, there has to be laws. There's so many ridiculous laws in the United States from like the 1800s and stuff. There has to be like a thou shalt not flatulate in public or something.
That's right. And I love that it's called a flatus or flatus or whatever they use on Mythbusters instead of saying fart. Just fucking say fart, man.
I'm so sad for Mythbusters.
Aww.
Juan's been watching the Mythbusters marathon for like 2 weeks or something.
Not anymore. They had a 10-day marathon that went through the whole night of every single one of the episodes. So everything we did that those 10 days was watch Mythbusters when we were doing nothing. So,
that's hardcore.
Yeah, but they just debuted the new season. Like there was a season. Like it started, but the first season wasn't anything except for a preview of what the season will be. So it went through some of what the myths will be and things like that. So this actual season proper starts this week, but you got a preview of it last week and it was cool.
That's nice. Cool. I love Mythbusters. It's like one of the best shows. Like it's
Adam,
it's a cool mix
cried.
Between like entertainment and like science. So it's like educational. Like I feel like if I sit my kids down to watch it, they're going to have fun and enjoy it, but they're also going to learn something.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I don't know. It's always a good watch. Drunk History is the same way. Like I let my kids watch Drunk History because the stories are true, but they're like told hilariously by super drunk people. And so it's
they get untruer and untruer as the night goes on.
No,
and then
awesome.
There was
they
this
get more
then there
vulgar.
Was this zombie and he killed George Washington.
He wasn't really cutting a cherry tree down. He was hacking away at some fucking werewolves.
And then he killed Dracula with his wooden teeth.
I could never tell a lie.
Dracula.
Oh man, speaking of George Washington, do we want to jump into old people news?
It's not that was news. A weird transition. Speak even old fucker, how about you old fuckers talk about your old fucker stuff?
You know what you just sounded like to me? Do you remember in The Green Mile where they used the dude as a run-through for the executions?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I'm burning up, I'm sizzling and shit. He's just been an asshole through the whole fucking thing. That's what awesome. You just sounded like
I'm
for some reason.
Burning up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
So, old man stuff. My old man pick of this week is my newly acquired Justice League of America #1.
Oh, I saw that.
The incognito video that Dom took of you being like a child with excitement was so awesome.
I'm going to punch him in the dick next time I see him because of that, though.
Why? Uh-oh. It was perfect.
It's so cool. It's just so it's got a crazy story, right? And it's all fucking because of Smitty. So Smitty got his Amazing Fantasy 15, right, from Mile High.
Yeah.
And so then I started looking around, and Mile High had two copies of Justice League number one that with their half-off stupid-ass code word sale was still ended up being like $1,600. One of them was signed by Gardner Fox, which was pretty cool, who was the artist on the original series and is like the Silver Age DC, one of the Silver Age DC guys. He didn't do Batman or Superman, but he did all of the other, you know, the Atom, Hawkman, all of the characters that I love, all of the B-Squad Justice League people. So I started looking around. You know, I started putting feelers out to try to find a copy. I can't pay that much for a copy, man. That's insane. If anything, that would have to go back into the shop to buy more keys for the wall or whatever.
Especially since we didn't win the Powerball.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Boo to that nonsense.
$1.3 billion.
That's unreal. Unreal.
It's what's hilarious about it is the bigger the jackpot gets, the more people buy tickets, which lessens your odds by that much more.
Right. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You were feeling stuff up.
I was feeling some people, you know, sexually. And so I found this guy.
Hear that because of the.
Oh, sorry. I was rebagging a board or rebagging a book. So I started looking around. And of course, eBay's got a ton, but they're all stupid expensive. Crazy expensive. I found a guy on Instagram in Canada who is a presser. And he posted a picture of a bunch of these higher end, you know, like a super nice Amazing Spider-Man 129 and a couple of other really big books that he's trying to sell because he's trying to get himself a Hulk 1, you know, like the original Silver Age Hulk number 1.
Right, from the miniseries.
Right, the 6-issue mini or whatever it was. And so
a shitload of money.
Yeah, it is. He posted this picture. And everybody was like freaking out over these Hulk 181 and Amazing Spider-Man 129, all this Marvel stuff. And there was just this little sliver of a corner that was poking out that was the Justice League book. And so I messaged him. I was like, dude, what are you asking on that? And he kind of hemmed and hawed, and we went back and forth on price. And this is how – okay, this is what I love about comic book collecting. This is how specific he is when it comes to collecting stuff. So I have a Superman number – I think it's 34 or 36 in my cabinet up front, a Golden Age Superman book. It's got Superman on the cover, and he's like – there's a refrigerator and Lois Lane's on the cover, and he's like putting his hand in the ice maker for some reason. I don't know. But it's a – It's a really nice Golden Age book, and it's a yellow background cover. And this guy collects only Golden Age Superman books that have yellow fucking covers. How weird is that?
That is really weird. Why does he collect that? Like, did he have a reasoning behind it?
Nope, not at all.
Just like it's just an aesthetic thing.
Just his thing. Yeah, exactly. And so I made him an offer. I was like, how about would you trade straight across for this Superman book for the Justice League book? And he's like, no. He's like, if it were any other time, I would absolutely have done it. But I really need some money to buy this Hulk number one. And I was like, all right, well, let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can put together. So I sold some of my own personal stuff from my collection in the basement to get the money together for this Justice League number one. Sorry, it's a long story.
No, you're good.
I'm enraptured.
Yeah, you're good.
We're not talking because we're actually listening.
That never happens.
I know. We don't have anything shitty to say because we're like, wow, this is really cool.
I love the tales of John.
So I sold like my Batman New 52.
It was better when there was a Crypt Keeper, though.
I agree. I can't do it in that voice or I wouldn't be able to talk for the rest of the day. So I start selling some of my stuff, you know, to people, some of my, you know, like New 52 Batman run for some reason is worth a ton of money.
Yes, it is.
And I have all of the issues up to current. So I sold some of that. And I got the money together, paid the guy, you know, he shipped the book from Canada. He sent me a picture of the package through Instagram, you know, with the address and stuff written on the package. And I looked at it. I glanced at it. I was like, great. Awesome. Thank you. Sends me the tracking information. I'm tracking it, right? I'm tracking it. It says it was delivered at my fucking mailbox on December 21st. It was not delivered at my mailbox on December 21st. So I messaged him back and I said, hey, man, you know, the book says it's delivered. I didn't get it. And then I start looking through our messages and it turns out he had left a number out of my address.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that sucks.
And the number that the address that he sent it to does not exist. So then I'm like, fuck.
So they just left it in the middle of nowhere?
So I called the post office. I was literally on the phone with the post office every day from the 21st until December 31st.
Wow.
And I gave them the tracking number. I spoke to a gal, this gal, Jessica. Her and I became great friends. She's like, I'll talk to the carrier and I'll have him fix it, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Meanwhile, I'm calling all of my neighbors that are, you know, like a number off from the address that it supposedly was delivered to. So I'm calling like 21009 and 21119 and all these guys. I'm like, hey, I'm a huge comic nerd and there's a package that was delivered and it was misdelivered. And if you get it, would you please give it to me? Because it's a really expensive book that I want. And everybody that I talked to was like, no, we haven't seen any package or anything like that. So I'm like, fuck. It was the worst, like, knot in my stomach over the holidays because I've never spent that kind of money on a book before.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't for the store. It was for me, even though I guess it could be for the store at some point. But so I messaged the guy and he's like, well, I can't do anything from my end because it said it was delivered, you know, even though it was delivered incorrectly. He's like, hopefully whoever it was delivered to will return it. And then when I get it back, I'll send it back out again. And I'm like, fuck, you know, here's this giant book that's somewhere in this limbo of the postal system. And on New Year's Eve, on December 31st, you know, we were pretty busy here at the shop. Dom was sitting on the couch. I was helping ring up some customers, and this guy and his son are hanging out kind of in the lobby area. So I finished ringing up these people, and I asked them if I could help them with anything, and he holds up this package, and he says, is this you? And I was like, holy shit, man, you have no idea. It was the package that the dude sent from Canada with the Justice League number one in it. And I was like, I was flipping out, and I was, you know, I told the guys, like, you can have anything in the store that you want at this point. please take something. You have no idea what a giant weight off my chest this is.
So this was the point of the movie where you, like, run into each other's arms and you kiss.
You know, 7 minutes, you know, 7 minutes in heaven. It was
so what I want to know is, what did they take from the store? What did they grab?
They actually didn't take anything, which really? Was crazy. Yeah, exactly.
Good Samaritan, so, man.
I know.
Comic book fans.
That's cool, though.
Needs to be, you know, a good person. So be a good person.
For sure. That's,
dude, that's
cool.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome. What a cool story. Like, not only is it like a huge key issue that you love because we saw the video of how much you love it. It's also thing, got like this great story to like how you ended up with it.
Oh,
like,
really
it's
cool.
Really, really cool.
I had, you know, Dom's like, well, you're not going to open it up and read it, are you? And I was like, bullshit, watch. And so I pulled it out and I opened it up and started reading it. And it's you know, it's one of those Silver Age books that's super fucking stupid. You know, I you probably heard. And so, you know, there's one point where like Aquaman and Green Lantern get transported to this water planet because Despero is playing like a chess game with all of the Justice League members and making them do these stupid tasks. And there's this giant yellow magnifying glass that's causing all of the water on this planet to boil, which is killing all of the sea life. And of course, Green Lantern can't do anything because the magnifying glass is fucking yellow. And Aquaman's super concerned about all of the alien sea life. So, you know, the way that they get through their little trial is, you know, Green Lantern creates this ramp that Aquaman telepathically tells all of the alien octopus to climb up onto that gets them on top of this goofy fucking magnifying glass. And then Aquaman, you know, telepathically tells them all to release their ink because, of course, an octopus on an alien planet is also going to be able to ink shit, right? And so then it changes the color of the fucking of the magnifying glass from yellow to black, full of octopus ink. And so then Green Lantern can have an effect on it. It's just stupid. It's so stupid, but it's awesome.
So that's what's great about those Silver Age books, though, is they're so crazy and silly that they're like perfect.
Exactly.
So did the guy like when he got it? Did he tell you anything about how he like found you, or did he?
No.
Oh.
Not at all. We were literally like, so he came up and then I had like three or four other people that were waiting to check out. So I wish I could have spent more time and figured out which one of my fucking neighbors he is so that we could give him like a gift basket or something.
Right.
And ask him why he didn't fucking bring it down sooner than.
Yeah. Let me be a dick to you.
But the other cool thing about that book, like I was reading, as I was reading through it, I got to the letter column. And I don't generally read the letter column in stuff with the exception of like sex criminals. But I thought, you know, it's Justice League number one. What were people talking about back in 1960 when this book came out? And it was crazy to see all of the people who were writing in that were saying, you know, oh my God, we love the Justice League appearance in Brave and the Bold because 28, 29, and 30, that's their first kind of three appearances ever. And, you know, they were like, can you please give Justice League of America an ongoing series that comes out at least six, but hopefully eight times a year? And to think back on a time when there wasn't a such thing as a Justice League, it's just, it's crazy to me. Cool. It blows my mind. You know, it's super nuts.
And now there's like four Justice Leagues.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's really cool.
There's going to be a Justice League of China here pretty soon.
Justice League China.
They already have a team. I can't remember what it's called. But really? But that's my old man pick of the week.
That's
my
cool.
Justice League number one and the fucking heart attack I almost had trying to get a hold of it.
Carissa was beating you every night. How could you spend this much money?
Well, and it's funny. So like, it's one of those things where anytime you spend a bunch of money on yourself, you immediately have like buyer's remorse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like as soon as that happened, our fucking sprinkler control out in the yard broke. And so it was leaking water everywhere. And of course, that's like $500 to fix. And I'm like, well, fuck, I guess I should sell this book that I just picked up to pay for that. And she's like, no, you can't do that. You know,
you went through this whole ordeal to get this book.
I had to hear a whole fucking week's worth of you bitching. And if you got to sell it, I'm going to be hearing about it for fucking years.
You were a complete asshole over Christmas because you were stressed out about this stupid goddamn comic book. We're not selling it now for the fucking sprinkler repair.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so there
you go.
That's
cool. I like that. I like it.
It's my story.
So my old man pick is not as good of a story at all. So
Next question.
So I was super, super sick this last week, you know, and ended up calling in on Wednesday so that I could go to the doctor and like get medicine and get some rest and stuff. I had bronchitis. So like every time I went to work, it's like 36 degrees where I work. So it just would make me cough more. So my wife, you know, was like, get some rest, whatever, you know, you got to get some sleep, take some time off, you know? So I'm sitting at home, right? And my son has his Xbox 360. It has some games, you know, most of which I haven't played. I basically only play Forza. But I got him the Batman Arkham Asylum game a while back. Okay. So I was like, you know what? I got like a little bit of time before I can go back to get my prescriptions. I'm going to just sit and play for an hour. And I ended up falling asleep after playing for like about an hour and a half just because I was tired. But the game itself was really, really fun. You know, you go in, you're Batman, you know, you can go into this thing called detective mode where you can like, see through like the walls and see where the bad guys are. And you can either play as like rough and tumble beat 'em up Batman or kind of sneaky Batman. It's a super fun game. But what it reminded me of is the countless hours that I spent on the original NES Batman game. There was a side-scrolling Batman game that was super dark and very comic book looking, even though it was like super 8-bit, that my stepbrother and I would play relentlessly. Like, it was so hard. Like, you had to jump over stuff and hit things at exactly the right time. It was like that. There was a point in time where, like, the original NES games were, like, almost impossible to beat. Like,
yes, absolutely.
I remember, like, Ghosts and Goblins was a great example. I literally have never been past the second level of Ghosts and Goblins.
It's a hard fucking game.
Like, it's an impossible game to play. Batman was very much that way, but you had these cool things where you could jump against the wall. It was the first time I had ever played a game where you jump back and forth between two walls to like climb up a air shaft.
Sure.
And this game felt so much like that, where it was hard, but you got to do things that like defied physics because you were Batman. Like, you're actually being Batman. And I just remember how much fun it was to just be Batman for a little while, like to immerse yourself in this video game. And obviously the technology was so different back then.
Sure.
You know, the game looked like a darker version of Contra with like a Batman skin over it, you know. But I just remember the first scene, you like pull up in the Batmobile and it opens, and it was very it was based on the Tim Burton Batman. So okay. It was like the same Batmobile, and the top opens and Batman jumps off, and that's how you begin the level. And you're like running through, and like you beat up thugs, and you're like like trying to get through like this toxic waste dump and like all this other stuff. It's just, there was a point in time where like video games were very, very important to me. And obviously that time is gone because like I have four kids and I love to read my comic books and I love to read regular books. So I just don't have the time to like sit down and devote like 2 or 3 hours to like a video game anymore. But there was that point in time on Wednesday where for just a little bit, I got to be Batman again, and it was really cool. Like, you just, it's so much fun to like immerse yourself in that world, you know, and you get that when you read comic books or when you read books, but it's not quite the same because, like, you know, here's Joker, your personal antagonist, and here's these thugs, you know, that you have to fight. It is awesome.
With a book, you've got to pretend like you're the guy who you're reading the story about.
Yeah.
Sure. Or you get to control the dude when you're playing the video game. That's cool.
It was just a lot of fun. It reminded me of, like, I mean, I used to play the crap out of Batman and like Super Contra, like, or
the Spreader.
Dude, I would always, like, you know, you get to a point because of the way the games were built where you would like memorize what was about to happen in the level. And I knew,
especially on boss fights, you know.
Well, that was how you beat him. You had to figure out the pattern.
He only does four moves.
But you had to figure out the pattern.
Right.
And there's a little bit of that in Batman. Like, the first big boss that you fight is like this weird mutant thing, and you have to dodge and then throw batarangs at him. Like, you can't run up on him and punch him, because if you do, he's like so big that he just smacks you out of the way. And it's just really fun. Like, it felt like those old games just with better technology.
Oh man, you know what's another hard game I've never ever beat, and I can't remember how many levels I've gotten to? It's fucking Double Dragon.
Oh my god,
that game is such a hard game.
I hated that game.
That's awesome.
I think really the only 8-bit Nintendo games that I've beaten are Mario 3.
And that's 3. An even hard fucking game to beat, too.
I beat Mario 3 and, like, a bunch of the role-playing games. Like, I beat Final Fantasy and I beat Dragon Warrior and all that stuff. But those side-scrolling action games, like,
hard.
To this day, I hate jumping parts.
Jumping parts.
Jumping parts. Jumping parts.
Hang on 1 second, guys.
Jumping parts. How's it going, man? Am I echoing? I mean, I think that means he plugged his headphones back in.
I think so. I don't think he can hear us.
Oh, I wish they were closer again so that we could be like, oh, yeah.
That sucks. Come on, John. We're at the end of the show. Ignore the customer.
No. Don't ignore the customer. It's like the worst advice of all time.
It's one customer. You can lose him. Come finish the show.
So I had a toss-up between old man stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
Between the Nintendo Batman, but I'm just going to talk about this. Why not? We're wasting time. So Sundance is releasing a series called Happen Leonard that's based on characters by this author named Joe Lansdale. They're in a bunch of books. They all have like alliterative names like Rumble Tumble or, you know, Captain's Outrageous and stuff like that. But it's about these two guys, Hap, who's like this white, like kind of East Texas peckerwood, and then his best friend, whose name is Leonard, who is like this 6'4" African-American gay man. And they're like best friends because they served in Vietnam together.
Right.
And they like share a house and like all this other stuff. But the plots of the books are like, Hap falls in love with this lady, right? And she gets messed up in like this drug thing with these meth addicts that live like a few doors down from him. So they kidnap his girlfriend. So Hap and Leonard go save his girlfriend and burn down the meth addict's house. Like, you know, or her daughter gets messed up in a Mexican drug cartel. So they fly to Mexico, fight the whole cartel by themselves and like blow up a bunch of stuff. And like, they're just these great, super hilarious, like over the top, like action books.
Right.
So I'm super, super excited for the TV show. Like,
speaking of tall black men, gay men, I watched 2 episodes of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, God.
It's so funny.
That show is so funny. Oh, are you back, John? Awesome.
I am. Sorry.
No. We were just talking about Gabe's toss-up between
old man segments. I had a toss-up on my old man thing. Either the Batman, the NES Batman, which I loved, or Happen Leonard, which is the new Sundance show based on Joe Lansdale's Happen Leonard Pine, Hap Collins and Leonard Pine mystery books, like,
nice,
which are awesome. Like, you know, you'll hear us talk about it, but basically they're these like over the top, like super violent mystery stories.
Sure.
And like Hap is like this
you know, white, like, total redneck East Texas guy, and his best friend is Leonard, who's like this giant African-American gay guy. And it's just super, super funny. They're really, really great books. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
I believe that's the end of this show.
Oh, man. I like
talking
to
John. Son of a bitch.
I know. I like talking to John,
too.
You
liar.
I'm not a liar.
I like being on the show.
I talk to John on Facebook at least once a week.
You do talk to John a lot.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. John did me a favor and left me a voicemail on our new voicemail number that I'm not going to release yet, but it's coming. You'll hear about it on Facebook before you ever hear it on this episode.
I know. So the way the voicemail thing works is to record the outgoing message, it calls a phone, and it's connected to Juan's phone, and since I don't have access to Juan's phone, I couldn't make the message this week.
So gotcha. It's coming. John's all, are you sure you want to open that can of worms?
Oh, I want to open that can of worms.
Well, but I was like, at first when I set it up, it forwards to a number.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want random people calling me and then me being like, hello? And they're like, what?
I want to leave a message. Voicemail. I just wanted to leave a nasty sexual message about anal ghosts.
Exactly. So I had to figure out how to turn that off. So now when we get a voicemail, it doesn't ring to me. It just sends me a text message and we get an email, which is cool. That's all I need. And it doesn't bother anybody. Nobody's personal shit is out there. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just get this. We'll make it happen. If people want to call us, that's cool.
I think it's awesome.
Totally
it's
free.
Be,
I mean,
I feel like it's going to end up being super hilarious.
And I'm okay with that.
I do too. I want us to be able to play the messages on air.
Oh, I will. I'm going
It'll
to.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to.
I'm super stoked. All right. Well, with that said, this has been another fantastic episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. If you would like to communicate with us, there are several different ways that you can do that.
Anyways,
wow.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope, which I will start doing again because I have my new phone, at Outside Long Box.
He laughed and I rolled my eyes. He didn't see me.
So on Facebook, we're almost up to 1,500 followers. And on Instagram, we're just over 960. So we're getting pretty close to 1,000 Instagram followers.
Nice. And that's cool because most of those are distinctly different.
Yeah. And
I think that.
I think our Twitter one is pretty good too. How many Twitter followers do we have?
A lot.
I think it is a lot. We get a lot of really cool interaction from other podcasts too.
Yeah, we're a part of we're not really a part of it, but there's a group of podcasts who use the tag hashtag Podern Family.
Podern Family.
So that when you do that, you can search for those podcasts and everybody pretty much shares the link that's associated with that hashtag. So whenever we put out a new episode, you put the hashtag Podern Family and then all of the people that use that hashtag typically will retweet it. So it's a cool group of a ton of different podcasts.
It's like a Twitter podcast CCBE.
Yes.
That's anyway, awesome. But you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at Outside Long Box. You can send us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com, which is probably the best way, especially if you're a creator, to get in contact with us, to do an interview. If you have a project that you're working on or that's about to come out, a Kickstarter that you're about to launch with, you probably want to give it, you know, a month, like you're going to launch it in a month or later because it takes us a while to set up the interview and then interview you and then also get it online. So, you know, be proactive. If you want to interview about a Kickstarter that you're about to do, you know, do it ahead of time.
Shoot me an email. We'll see what we can do. The reason why things happen to be coming out, well, one, because the holidays just ended, but I've associated myself with the 112263 podcast, which happens to be running concurrently right now with our podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm editing, me and Albie are editing those shows as we're putting these shows out. So I've been like, the last episode I edited almost all in one day and then the next morning it was out. So I have to literally be like, fuck it. I'm not doing anything today. I'm sitting down and I'm editing all of this episode.
Right.
So it's pretty cool and I'm excited for the other podcast to come up. I like JFKE items. So.
And I like Stephen King. So I'm super, super excited for the show and that podcast. But anyway, so speaking of which, Juan makes no money editing these
podcasts.
No
money.
So if you would
but
like
you
to.
You know what? That's why our show is awesome.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's a huge part of it. Well,
what are you saying? If I start making money, I'm going to become a diva?
No, I was going to bring that up earlier when we were talking about how, you know, like the 11/22, I don't know what the numbers 63. Are. But yeah.
It's the date. That's the date JFK died. FYI. On Hulu,
and how everybody wanted to see time travel faster, and we sacrifice creative, you know, integrity because we're trying to make money. We don't do that here because we don't make any money. So there is no creative sacrifice at all.
One might even say there's no creative. At all.
I don't know, man. Anal Ghosts is pretty creative.
That's pretty fucking funny. That's pretty funny.
And fucking Gosha, I mean, that's just, be honest.
Copyright.
That's right.
Oh, man. So when are you going to get Mark May on the show? Tell him to come interview with us.
I can do that.
He seems to be good friends with you.
No, he just came to the shop the other day because he actually wanted one of the glow-in-the-dark Swamp Thing pops, and he hasn't been down to pick it up yet, so he came by to pick it up.
Nice.
They are pretty awesome. I have mine sitting in my office, and it's rad.
Is it out of the box or is it in the box?
I'm going to take it out of the box. I have not yet.
Okay.
Like, I'm not really a keep a toy in the box kind of guy.
Sure.
I'm not usually the pops I don't keep in the box because I think for some reason they're going to get like more valuable or something. It's just easy to stack and kind of place.
To organize. Yeah.
So that's just the way I keep them.
It's funny. I have a friend that collects pops and he'll take them out and like look at them and be like, oh, these are really cool. And then put them back in the box for storage reasons. Like, it's pretty awesome. Anyway,
speaking of not making any money,
you can actually support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB. You get all sorts of like cool, like different little prizes and stuff like that for helping us out. But it just helps us cover the costs. Like if a microphone breaks or like Juan's computer always seems like it's on its last leg, like, you know, help, you know, just help us like offset some of the costs that go into making a podcast. Like it's not super, super expensive, but it also like does cost. And, you know, we spend our time doing it. If you like what you hear, please support us. Like our friends Dom, Marika, and Matt, who all support us and get a mention every episode with our Sesame Street ending that is always vulgar and hilarious to me.
So, and Marika's shirt is done. She wanted to be surprised. So we haven't put any pictures out there of it.
Hashtag T-shirt surprise.
Yes. So I asked her, I was like, do you want me to send you some pictures and I'll post it on the Facebook? She's like, I like surprises. So I was like, all right, nice. We're not going to do it anything until you see it. And it looks awesome.
Awesome. It's really cool. It's funny. Mel thought it was for Hannah.
Oh.
Because it's so small.
That's awesome.
I thought that was hilarious. She's like, did Juan make this for Hannah? I'm like, that's Marika's. She's all, Marika will fit in that? I'm like, pretty sure.
She told me that was her size, so hopefully she does.
Pretty sure she's the same size as my 9-year-old. Like, yeah, so.
Amazon,
you can help support us also through Amazon at Amazon or Barren Space, BarrenSpace.com/Amazon.
If you're like, fuck those guys, I don't want to give them any of my money.
That's totally fine, but we prefer that you don't act that way. But if you go to the Barren Space Amazon, when you click on that, it just takes you right to Amazon.
Right.
It like adds a little cookie, you know, which tells, you know, people.
Yum.
Yeah. Cookie. Anyway, you can do that.
More cookie. That's good enough for me.
It doesn't change your Amazon experience at all. So. No.
In fact, it makes it better.
Yeah, because you're helping out our amazing
spyware
podcast.
On your computer.
Yeah. It just makes it so that Juan can turn the camera on your computer on.
Oh, hey.
He's all, he is watching something dirty. And I'm watching something dirty.
I'm watching him watch something dirty.
I'm watching him watch something. Oh, it's about to get dirty. I just wanted to say dirty like 10 times.
Anyway,
so go to the Amazon, BarrenSpace.com.
BarrenSpace.com/Amazon.
So, if you have a project that you're working on, we would encourage you to A, keep working on it, because no matter, you know, what hardships you go through making it, it's worth it. Like doing this podcast is worth it, no matter how obnoxious it is to set up schedules and get everything done. We fucking love doing
obnoxious.
It.
It's not that obnoxious.
It isn't, but
Gabe thinks it's obnoxious because he doesn't want to go to Parker.
I just don't want to go places. I like my house. Anyway. Fucking do your project, ignore these two assholes, get it done, and then give us a Facebook message or an email telling us about it, and we'd love to have you on the show.
Yes.
We like talking with people.
So yes.
With
you're
that,
done.
Yes. Get some whammy. Thank you.
Yes.
With that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And I'm John.
And this has been another fantastic
Woo!
Anal Ghosts episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Ooh, that one was wet.
That was wet.
This episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box was brought to you by the letters B and S and the number 666, and our fans, Matt, Marika, and Dom. Thanks, guys, and be sure to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.